106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:30.
All right, so it's the Kevin and Bean Show, blah, blah, blah. So I'm watching The Hills last night. Super boring episode, by the way. Spencer goes back to Montana or wherever the F his fiancée Heidi lives and meets the family. That happens. And then Justin leaves Adrienne at a party. That's the extent of what happened on all of 30 minutes of Last Night of The Hills last night on TV. Lame episode. But something caught my attention in the episode from last week, and that is the following exchange.
I'm supposed to work out.
What?
I'm supposed to work out in like an hour.
Are you going to?
I really don't want to.
Then don't. Skip it. Eat your pink berry and enjoy life.
Get your pink berry and enjoy life. And the pink berry is now the hottest thing in Southern California. Out of nowhere, almost overnight, it's now crackberry. Now all the locations are wrapped around the clock. For people line up to get something that's sort of like yogurt.
A long line, yeah. It's not yogurt. It's not ice cream. It's pinkberry. And nobody, then they won't tell anybody, you know, what it is exactly.
And nobody cares.
They don't.
They are like, there's one that opened up by me maybe 3 months ago, I want to say. Didn't know what it was. Next thing I know, it seems like the next day there were lines out the door.
Lines out the door everywhere all day long.
Yeah.
They say they serve 1,500 people per day.
In each store.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's unbelievable. The first location, and anyone who has ever tried to start a business will be amazed by this. The first location started turning a profit within 1 month of opening its doors. Now, aren't there a million yogurt stores in Southern California?
Yes.
Aren't there a million places? I don't mean literally, of course, but there's certainly thousands of places that you can go and get yogurt.
Sure.
What's up with pinkberries? Why is that the only one that counts?
Yeah, we have two questions. Why the cult? And the second question is, why the cult?
And I found out, because I haven't actually had any yet, but there's only two flavors.
Two flavors. There's vanilla
and green tea. Yeah, and green tea, right.
It's not even vanilla, sorry.
This is regular.
Regular and green tea.
And fruit toppings. How is that magical?
I don't know. But at least they make up for it by charging like $10 for a couple of scoops.
A large with fruit is $9 and something.
What the hell?
That's so expensive.
You would think they're doing everything they can. You can't pigeonhole what it is.
Right.
It's not yogurt or ice cream or anything else you've heard of. It costs a tremendous amount of money, and yet there's lines out the door in every store.
And there's no parking available. You have to essentially, you know, park in a residential neighborhood and walk 10 blocks to get to one, or just double park and risk a ticket. So it's not convenient to go to. It's expensive. It's a limited menu, and you don't know what's in it. All of that is the secret to success, apparently.
By the way, you get regular or you get green tea, and you can't get a drink like even water. They don't serve water.
Really?
No.
Psycho Mike, you, Lisa's got one in her neighborhood. You've got one. How close to where you guys live?
I live right down the street. I mean, maybe 100 yards from a Pinkberry in Pasadena.
Now, you've had
what's...
it.
Yeah, I've had it.
Man?
It's good. I'm not going to lie. It's good, but it certainly isn't good enough to deserve all this attention and hoopla.
$10 buy it, and people are around the line?
It is far inferior to a kick-ass milkshake or some good Cold Stone or something like that.
First of all, there's nothing far better than a shake. But go ahead.
Right. It's no fat, but it's like 90,000 grams of sugar. It's really not good for you.
Right. But the non-fat is what everybody... that's what makes everybody
latch onto that.
Crazy.
Listen, people. A can of Coca-Cola has no fat in it. Does not mean it's not good for you or that it's not fattening.
Right.
Pull your head out of your ass.
I have a friend who's a health food nut, and she drops... She had a friend, actually, that dropped some on her carpet in her car, and it bleached the carpet. So she called me. She's like, whatever you do, don't go there and eat that.
The pinkberry...
That's what she said.
The regular actually dropped on the carpet and bleached it?
It bleached it. So
wow.
I don't know what's in
dude.
It, but it's a good cleaning solution.
We're going to take some calls on the cult of Pinkberry at 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike also stopped by the Pasadena location and did some interviews in line. Real quick before the break, let's talk to Tiffany. She's down on line 5. She's in Los Feliz. Apparently, she is exactly who we're talking about, somebody who just can't get her Pinkberry on often enough. Hey, Tiff, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning.
Hi, Tiffany.
What's the deal?
I go to Pinkberry like twice a week. I remember going one time just because I saw it, and I was like, ooh, bright, shiny colors. I'm going to go see what the hell's going on.
Right.
There's always lines.
Right.
So I tried it once, thought, oh, this is kind of pricey, I don't want to do this. Tried it, hooked. It's exactly like cocaine. It doesn't matter how much it costs. You just got to get a fix, like, twice a week. Sometimes I get it back down to one because I realize I have a problem. They seriously need a 12-step program. They need Pinkberry's Anonymous because it's that bad.
Do you get regular or the only other flavor, green tea?
You know, I actually don't like the green tea. I like the regular. And if you put stuff on it, then it's even better.
Fruit and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I've always put, like, raspberries and bananas
But they can't come up with something like chocolate or strawberry because, you know, that's just too much work.
You know, maybe it would just mess with the flavor. I kind of like the plain flavor because it's tangy, but you can't exactly put your finger on what it is.
No, it's not crack. Yogurt. It's not yogurt. It's not ice cream.
And it doesn't taste like vanilla either, even though it's the regular flavor. It doesn't taste like anything I've ever had before.
It has a very definite yogurt flavor. I mean, it tastes like plain yogurt as far as, I mean, that tanginess mm-hmm. that yogurt has.
But it definitely has that sweetness in it.
Yeah, but...
So to answer our question, though, when we point out that it's hard to get to, parking is tough, it's expensive, there's long lines, limited menu, the reason is it tastes like nothing else that you can buy. And when you're in the mood for that, that's what you crave. That's what you end up having to buy.
Exactly. Okay. I personally think there's cocaine in it, too. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There must be.
I think you need to go into a 12-step program.
That's why they won't tell you what's in it.
Thank you, Tiffany. I guess. I mean,
there's something.
Well, obviously there is, but what the hell? How are people so hooked? I mean, Bean mentioned 5 negatives in a row, and people are still like, yep, whatever. Can't park, no problem. Long line,
like
no problem. Expensive, no problem. I'm in.
And any one of those would kill any other business, but for some reason, Pinkberry is not only successful, but it is thriving, and they're open in new locations all the time. All right, we got some interviews from last night from the Pasadena One. We'll take more of your calls to 1-800-520-1067. The Cult of Pinkberry, when we return on K-Rock. So if you live in Southern California and you're nowhere near or never drive by a Pinkberry, it may sound crazy what we're talking about, but we're talking about the kind of place that's sort of like a yogurt shop where there are lines from the minute they open till the minute they close. In fact, they have to cut the line off 15 minutes before this place closes just so they can get out of there on time.
Kind of like Pink's Hot Dogs. You drive by there, there's never not a line.
And Psycho Mike, you live very near to one in Pasadena, and you just had an interesting point, and we're going to take some more phone calls here in a second, that maybe it's just a chick thing. Maybe it's just another lame, bad thing that chicks do.
It is definitely – listen, I went last night to talk to some people in line and get some interviews, and two dudes in line told me, they're like, I'm here because my girlfriend dragged me here. She loves it, and I had to go. And then last Saturday night, a week ago, I was in Old Town Pasadena with a couple of my buddies, and one of them's a, like, real macho, rugged dude. And he looked at me and he said, is it gay because I like Pinkberry? So, I mean, there's definitely something feminine about it. I mean, I don't know if it's the bright colors or the non-fat deal, but...
Well, I mean, let's face it. Non-fat frozen yogurt is a chick thing because chicks are always looking for something yummy that doesn't have fat in it.
But it's pure sugar, so that doesn't
matter. We don't care.
Okay, you don't
care. It's the fat.
All right.
That's all we care about. Good logic.
No,
I'm just telling you.
Okay, good.
Speaking of chicks, let's talk to Jim in Stanton. He's got a girlfriend who makes him go all the time. Jim, you're on the Kevin and Me and Sean K-Rock. How has Pinkberry ruined your life?
Well, my girlfriend, she'll call me up, and she'll be like, hey, I'm not feeling too good. Can you stop by Pinkberry for me? I live out in Orange County. She's in downtown Long Beach. Yeah, I drive all the way down to 22, and I drive through downtown Long Beach. And anybody who does that knows 7th Street's a mess all the time.
Yep.
Like, I drive all the way down there. And then, and it's like $6 for, like, this one. And the way they do it is you have to get a medium with 3 of them to get the special deal.
Yeah.
And so that's just stupid. And once you get to, like, you know, Fruity Pebbles, which I got in my kitchen, and some bananas, you know, and it's on yogurt. And I think it is just frozen yogurt, like plain yogurt. They go to Yoplait. And just put it in the machine, and they dump it out.
But apparently the people who monitor such things say they're not even allowed to call it yogurt because it doesn't have the right amount of live culture or something like that. There's something specific you have to have to be yogurt, and this doesn't have it.
Well, you know, I do have another angle for you also. This used to be called Red Mango when it was initially formed in South Korea.
Right.
So, yeah, so, you know, going back on the old Kevin and Bean theme, never trust the yellow man.
No, that's a good point. That's an excellent point right there.
Don't trust the yellow man!
Thank you for the call.
And Red Mango is going to be opening here, or is opened now, right? I mean, that's what's coming next, is to take on Pinkberry, is the Red Mango itself is going to be here.
Ah, battle.
But it's the same thing, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
So, you got a problem with
red
that?
Red versus pink.
All right, let's go to April in Corona. Good morning, April. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
What the hell is up with the Cult of Pinkberry?
You know, I don't know. The first time that I tried it, it was like, okay, but I was in Westwood and I saw a line outside every time that I drove by it, so I had to try it. My boyfriend lives out there. And the first time it was all right, but then I had it again, and I'm hooked. Every time I go see him, we have to get it. and I start at UCLA next month, and I'm, like, terrified of how much money I'm going to spend while I'm living there because it's right.
Would you say that it's their massive options, that you have so many options to choose from? Oh, wait, no, there's only two.
Well, how about that it's so affordable then? Maybe that's what it is. It's
no,
so cheap that that's
no way expensive.
But it's convenient,
easy.
Right? It's
it convenient. Is convenient because there are so many no, you got to drive a long ways out of your way. But there's tons of free parking, right?
No, we usually park pretty far away.
Yeah. That's amazing that a place with that many negatives can have that long of a line.
I know. I really don't understand. But like the girl said earlier, we swear that there's cocaine in it because it's like addicting. I don't know what it is about it, but... It's so good.
All right.
Well, April, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Let's go to the tape from last night. Mike stopped by on his way home from the Dodgers game to the people who were lined up at 11 o'clock at night to get into Pinkberry's, and maybe there's some insight from actual customers what's going on.
How long have you been addicted to Pinkberry?
A few months.
What forces you to come back so often?
The fruits and the flavor of it all.
Fruits and the flavor of it all.
Okay.
Well,
can't get
cycle.
That everywhere else.
Regular green tea. Those are the flavors.
Yeah.
So here's the second one.
It's not better than ice cream, but you wait longer for it and you pay more for it. Explain.
We're all going here, and it's colorful.
Colorful.
It's bright inside.
That makes sense.
Okay, good.
Like a mosquito.
That's excellent.
A flame.
It's colorful, so that's why we like it.
Are you a big Pinkberry fan?
No, I just heard it was good for yeast infections.
Do you suffer from yeast infections?
Maybe.
How many people were in line when you did this?
60.
60?
Yeah.
No.
That's worse than In-N-Out.
I tell you, kitchen back area included, the place is 150 square feet.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
White to the white. Remember Pearl Harbor.
Well, that's good advice.
What were you going to say, Mike?
I was just going to say, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, how many people in line were just – they had no explanation for why they were there, but this was the third time they came that week.
They just like it, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that one.
Well, Brandon writes in, please read this email in the voice of Charlton Heston. Pinkberry is people. It's people.
That could be.
Maybe that's it.
Is that your Charlton Heston, by the way?
I don't really do voices.
No, you
actually
don't.
All right. Here's another interview by Mike.
Do you find Pinkberry superior to other frozen desserts?
It's not as filling. Like, you don't feel really stuffed and gross after you eat it.
Okay.
Okay.
Were you driven to come try out Pinkberry tonight because you were curious about how it tastes or because it's so popular and it seems like the hip thing to do?
Because it was on the hills, probably. Like, it was on TV, so now everybody wants to try it.
If Lauren Conrad had a big dog Sunday, would you try it out?
So that girl went, put up with the parking, put up with the line, put up with the high prices because it was on the hills.
Yeah. It's communism, I tell you.
How about that? That's a little strange, I got to tell you. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin. On tape, you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean all week long. The boys are on vacation. However, I am here live in the studio bringing you the latest Showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. It is 5:56 here in the
Don't tease me.
AM. I know. For a second there, I thought I'd been in a time warp. Take a look at Showbiz News, shall we? First of all, let me thank everybody who came out to the El Capitan Theater last night for Talk Like a Pirate Day, our celebration. We watched Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, and we had pirates having sword fights, and we had sing-alongs, and we had all kinds of pirate talk, and a couple of the actors from the film were there, so it was a good time.
Sounds awesome. Was it a good time?
It was, and a lot of cool KREK listeners came out. I got a chance to meet some very nice people.
Nice.
Hayden Panettiere.
Oh.
God, I love her so, especially now that she's 18. Well, she has recently split up with her boyfriend, Laguna Beach star Stephen Coletti, but apparently has a new one, if you believe the tabloids. Perez Hilton and other internet tabloid sites, as well as some of the printed tabloids, say she's been getting closer recently to her Heroes co-star, Milo Ventimiglia.
Hmm.
Of course, plays Peter Petrelli on that show, the guy who can do everything. I gotta say, it's all right with me. If two heroes want to breed, I think it's just more heroes for the rest of us, you know what I'm saying?
They'd make an uber hero.
Some people are casting an askewed eye at the fact that she's 18 years old and he's 28.
Oh, come on.
10-year difference.
Come on.
But it's Hayden.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are. You look at her, you're like, yeah, give me some of that. Did we have her song that got leaked on the internet? Do we still have that around?
I don't think we still have that.
Still have that?
I can have it for you for next show business.
Yeah, if you haven't heard her new song, it's pretty catchy. We'll be playing that for you in the next hour or so. Speaking of catchy music, Justin Timberlake was on Oprah Winfrey's show yesterday. And Oprah couldn't help herself. She had to ask him about Britney and her meltdown and what he thinks has been going on. You know, there have been several tabloid reports about the two of them getting together to do a duet together or a song, or he would produce a song of hers. But he told Oprah that he hasn't spoken to Brit in a long time. She asked, what do you think is going on with Britney? He said, I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't spoken to her in years. So I guess they're not planning on working together anytime soon.
I'm so fat.
But he quickly added, what I do know about her is that she has a huge heart and she's a great person. Yeah. Here's what I know about her. She's got a huge ass and she's a bad mom. That's what I know about her. In case Oprah asks me, that's what my answer is going to be. Rose McGowan may be the next celebrity to walk down the aisle. New York Post's Page Six says that she's been spotted wearing a new diamond engagement ring, presumably from her boyfriend Robert Rodriguez, director who directed her in Grindhouse, of course. No one will confirm or deny the reports. But keep in mind, she met Robert Rodriguez on the set of Grindhouse while they were filming that.
Right.
He was married at the time.
Right.
So he picks up on her, splits with his wife, boom, they got a relationship. If that happens, if that's your meet-cute story with your fiancé, isn't it always in the back of your mind that maybe on his next film, sometime, somewhere down the road, maybe he's trade you in for a new model, you know? Don't you have to worry about that?
Oh, I've always wondered, if you're the other woman or the other man in the beginning, you know, that's it seems shaky to base that on, but...
But that's Hollywood, isn't it?
And that's love.
It sure is. Pete Wentz!
Oh!
From Fall Out Boy. He's got a new gig. He is designing his own clothing line for women called Clandestine Jeans. He's releasing it through DKNY Jeans. It'll be available at DKNYJeans.com.
Clandestine Jeans, huh?
Clandestine. It's in the closet. It's very secret. My clothing.
It's easy to keep your wiener clandestine and hide it from people when you wear these jeans.
Ashley Simpson loved it.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my B-Cast phone. It gets me pumped.
Me too. O.J. Simpson's a free man. At least for now, he's free on bail. Yesterday, a judge granted $125,000 bond for Simpson, who stands accused of 10 charges related to the bizarre sports memorabilia sting that he tried to conduct himself in a Las Vegas hotel room. Here's the thing. It's getting worse for him. Apparently, his gun-toting thugs were told to take cell phones off of everyone in the room during the altercation, which cements the kidnapping charge. Not only was he holding them against their will, but he took any form of communication they might have away from them. So, more interesting. He can... he's free to roam the country, by the way.
That seems bad. Right?
He had to surrender his passport. He can't leave the country, but he can go anywhere he wants inside the U.S., and he did. He left Nevada last night, headed to the airport right after the courtroom hearing. Yeah, this is my favorite part. Outside the courthouse, they're all sort of nutloafs who were either supporting or screaming at O.J. My three favorite, there was a guy in a chicken suit for no apparent reason. Another guy with a sign reading O.J. in 07. I'm not even sure what that means. There's no real election this year he could be in, but I would vote for him. And lastly, my favorite guy wearing a T-shirt that read, I love famous people. Don't we all?
He's blunt. Gets right to the point.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Gary Cole, one of our favorites around here. You know him as the boss in Office Space. I guess most recently he was the dad in Talladega Nights, the Will Ferrell movie. Very, very funny, talented actor. He's 51 years old today. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun is 40 years old today. She used to be hot, Kristen Johnston.
I don't think she's not hot now.
She got mannish.
She's
big.
Burly.
She's an Amazonian.
She's 40 years old today. Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden's 39. And Nelson, Gunner and Matthew. Oh, how I miss Gunner.
After the rain, we'll see the sun again.
It's scary that you know Nelson's
Nelson
songs.
Come on.
The Nelson twins are 40 years old today. Happy birthday to Gunner and Matthew. Gunner, by the way. Worst name ever. My name's Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This handicapped listener that you want me to apologize to in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm supposed to talk to her?
Yes.
She can't use a phone, Kevin. She's in a wheelchair. That's embarrassing to tell her to try to do that.
The wheelchair means she can't walk, Bean. It doesn't mean she can't talk.
So says you. Like, you're the expert on the handicapped. All right, that's coming up. And more tickets if you're a girl. We got a few seats left, or spots left, I should say, on board the Queen Mary Shipwreck for the Kevin and Bean Scare the Ship Out of You Singles Party tonight. It's a big Halloween costume party, so if you're a lady, keep listening. We've got those coming up on K-Rock.
As time goes along, we discover new things about each other. I did not know that Bean was into Boy Scouts. I had no idea that.
Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, yeah.
Bean?
Yeah, Bean.
Did you go camping?
No. Let's be honest.
I don't really remember.
He doesn't remember any of it. Lightning was a Boy Scout, too.
Yeah.
Lightning got merit badges. Lightning got a merit badge in basket weaving. In basketry.
Yeah.
He did.
Dude, I'm a mother effing Eagle Scout.
What?
You can't say you got a merit badge in basketry and use the words mother effing Eagle Scout together in the same sentence.
You can't? Well, I went on to work in radio, so clearly I've made bad decisions.
Now, I know there are over 100 merit badges. And by the way, there are a million Boy Scouts in this country, too. So it's very much still alive and thriving. But I'm a little bit confused by, like, Lightning, you may remember, but a merit badge in bugling, for instance. Mm-hmm. Really? They give you a badge for being able to play taps or something? What's that all about?
There are quite a few strange merit badges. But yes, it's not just for playing taps. You have to master the instrument.
There's merit badges for coin collecting. There's merit badge for Indian lore. There's merit badges for dog care, for stamp collecting, for disability awareness, which apparently Bean hasn't received yet. There's a merit badge for nuclear science.
What?
Oh, my God.
There's a merit badge for fingerprinting. There's a merit badge for railroading. I don't know what these...
Remember we had a kid in here who was trying to get his radio merit badge.
That's right. I do remember that, yeah. I thought it was all... Honestly, I thought it was like, like backpacking and whittling and things like that.
Yeah.
Is what you got merit badges for.
Whittling, yes.
Well, here's why this story caught our attention. And this is really bizarre, but it's from the Los Angeles Times. The local Boy Scouts have connected up with the Motion Picture Association of America, and they're offering a new merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch. And that's for Cub Scouts who go around, and Boy Scouts, who go around and tell other people that it's a bad idea to illegally download songs, movies.
Really?
Yes. So they can get a merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch.
Yeah, that's no wilderness survival merit badge.
No, that's not. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you at all.
You're getting a badge for not doing something.
For not downloading. Essentially. Right. And for proselytizing other people to not download.
Telling
illegally.
Other people that's bad.
Right, exactly.
All right, we had to find out more about this because this is the first time I've heard of anything like this. So we asked Lightning to line up a spokesperson from the Boy Scouts of America, and we're pleased to welcome Mr. Clyde Wendler to the line. Hi, Mr. Wendler. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine, but we're just, I think we're a little bit surprised as to the new areas that scouting is getting into. I mean, I know we're living in the digital age, but what's this merit badge all about, sir?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're finding that scouting has been a tradition for obviously many, many years. And we're finding that modern day scouts are facing challenges and issues that scouts haven't before, and we like to keep up with the times, and we're trying to encourage our scouts to continue to be, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Wow. What do they have to do for the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch?
What we're trying to do them is to encourage other youths that they spend time with to keep from downloading anything illegally, be that any copyrighted material, be it films or music, to try to obey the law in every level. We're finding that young people who wouldn't in a million years consider walking into a store and picking up a piece of merchandise and walking out with it are having no problems at home in their computers downloading something illegally, and we're trying to keep them to be law-abiding citizens.
Well, I saw in the article, I mean, they interview some of the Boy Scouts who say, look, if you're 14 years old and you don't really have the money to buy a CD and you have the opportunity to get it for free, you're going to go ahead and do that. And that's the kind of mindset that your organization is trying to stop.
Right. It is easy to do, and it is tempting to do, and we're trying to teach our scouts to rise above that. You know, we train young people in citizenship, service, and leadership, and that means obeying the laws even when it's inconvenient or it's tempting to do otherwise.
So do they have to have, like, a certain number of saves or something where they can come into you and say, yeah, I had five friends this week that tried to illegally download, and I talked them out of it?
It's not a quantitative decision we make. You don't need to get notches on some sort of anti-piracy card or anything, but we do take it in consideration, and they have to have proven that they have tried to spread that word to the best of their ability. Sometimes they make up a poster that they hang in their schools, or sometimes we contribute in other ways to anti-piracy campaigns, but they can earn those badges, yes.
All right.
Mr. Wendler on the line with us is the national spokesperson for the Boy Scouts of America. We're talking about the changing face of scouting. What other kinds of areas are you getting into in the Boy Scouts of the 21st century?
This year at our Scout Council, we have decided to add several new badges to try to reflect current conditions that young scouts are facing up against. A new badge we're offering also this year is the Turning In Your Parents for Having Drugs badge.
What?
Yeah, if you find your parents smoking the dope or they have some sort of marijuana in the home, you call the cops. You turn your folks in.
You turn your parents in.
Hey, it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy. We say it's a hard choice to make, but it's got to be done because they're pot smoking pinkos and they need to go away.
But
need to do some hard time. Teach them a lesson.
That sounds like a narc badge, and it sounds like what you're doing is promoting splitting up families.
No, what we're promoting doing is staying clean and sober, and that comes to the parents too. And sometimes those parents are scum, and they need to go to prison.
Okay, all right, Clyde.
All right. So, sexual activities running rampant in our schools. You'd be surprised how many junior high school and, unfortunately, even grammar school kids are engaging in sexual activity.
Right.
So we're trying to discourage that amongst our young Boy Scouts, and so we are offering an auto fellatio badge.
I don't like the sound of that, Clyde.
An auto fellatio badge?
That's right. If you can give yourself a Hummer, we give you a badge.
Really? Oh, no.
Young men, to take care of themselves, they won't be so eager trying to get women to do it for them.
Psychobike, we get your interest now?
They have to show you that?
Well, of course. How else am I going to know?
That's
creepy. They got to demonstrate it. And if they need help, I'm willing to be there for them.
Oh, Clyde.
Oh, Clyde.
Stretch them out, get them limber. That's
Clyde, come on. No, this has gone horribly awry.
Also, in the long lines of being, clean and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We're offering
stuff like clean?
We're offering a badge in pubic grooming.
In pubic grooming?
Yeah. As the young men, as they get their furry parts going down there after a certain age, we're teaching them to keep it clean and tidy and neat. So there's a manscaping badge that we give.
A manscaping.
And as long as you keep it trimmed and tight, half an inch, quarter of an inch, then you get your badge.
Do you measure?
Okay. I do all the measuring.
Sure you do.
I think I'm starting to see a thread here. I think I understand what's going on.
I mean, sexual safety is an issue that's really facing kids today. I mean, a lot of kids are picking up STDs and sort of things like that. So we teach them to be safe. In fact, we've got another badge. Teach them how to make a condom in the wild out of bark and a ferret pelt.
That's impressive.
That's more than impressive.
So in case you're in the woods, you knock one out, you don't catch it.
Is this former Congressman Mark Foley?
Maybe.
Magic.
Tom DeLonge, everything's magic, right?
Everything's magic.
I don't even know what that means, but that is the new one from Angels and Airwaves. Everything's Magic is the name of the song. The new CD comes out on November the 6th. So, Kevin, what you're saying is, and you just remembered this after your drunken weekend in Las Vegas, that you ran into Angels and Airwaves on Saturday night.
Not that I ran into them, that we went to the suite and did a full interview with the entire band. And
you just remember that?
Well, I was under the influence a bit over the weekend. So, but we do have an interview with them talking about mainly the new CD that's coming out. In early November. Mm-hmm. So we thought maybe you'd like to hear that since we did the interview anyway. There is a little bit of talk about what was going on this past weekend in Vegas. Not the MTV Video Music Awards, but what was going on at the Hard Rock, which is where they performed, Angels and Airwaves, and 50 Cent performed, and Kanye West performed, and Linkin Park performed. All on Saturday night at the Hard Rock.
Wow.
And it all kind of got started with the guys from Angels and Airwaves, and this is from Saturday when we were in their suite. Hey, Tom, prima donna, get over here.
Do you know who I used to be?
I know who you used to be, yes. Who are you now?
I used to be a woman.
And the new CD, when does it come out?
We have a record coming out the first week of November. I believe it's November 6th. It's called I Empire. It is the second half of the first record. They are meant to be a double record. And maybe the next one will be the third part of it. It'll be a trilogy. And then the fourth one comes out, and that'll be the fourth period of it.
So I Empire, of course, after the Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, right?
Well, people, you know what's funny? Is the cover of our record was painted by a guy named Drew Struzan. And Drew Struzan is the famous movie poster painter that did all the Star Wars movies, Indiana Jones, everything. anything that you would have seen that has a big epic feel with the characters and stuff. And then it says Empire on, so it very much is reminiscent of that George Lucas thing, but that's not what it was meant for, although at least we steal from great things.
And Everything Magic from Chris Angel, the Mind Freak, that's what
yeah,
you guys...
Yeah, we're huge fans, huge fans, and basically we've tried to emulate our look after his.
Isn't he crazy? I really respect the fact that he's out there and he's trying to
do
these.
That's not true, actually. Last time we talked about Chris Angel, you like threw a full fit about how he was totally ridiculous, and I stuck.
You want to know the cutest thing?
Because I actually thought
this is cute.
Our stance on Chris Angel is giant douchebag.
Okay, and now I'm going to say the cutest thing is you couldn't read the facetious tone that I was having, and where I was going to end up was I don't really back the whole thing where he's doing abdominal exercises and like the splits and showing off his body and every single
watch
one.
The show.
I watched
never
it once,
done
pal.
Abs on the show ever. He's got sick abs. It's true.
I'm on the Kevin and Bean team.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I'm backing you guys.
We're actually staying right next to the Luxor, and they asked, "Do you guys want to interview Chris Angel?" We said, "No." What are you high?
No, you know,
but
I have
sabotage.
No, he is definitely. I'll tell you right now. He is definitely no Copperfield, right? Copperfield.
Right,
no. He's definitely no Siegfried.
He's
not what I'm trying to say.
He's Roy.
He's Roy for sure.
Tell us about the event here at the Hard Rock. What are you guys doing? You're playing with 50 Cent, all kinds of weird stuff. What's going on?
Our manager, Rick, put together this giant event here. He wanted to do something cool before the VMAs, and he started out with Angels and Airwaves here, and then he brought in the top wakeboarders in the world. Then 50 Cent's people called, and they wanted to be on the thing in Lincoln Park as well. Hard Rock got really into it, and I guess there's a bunch of shows that are now doing it all across the town. I want to say Rick started it all, and the coolest thing is at some point, I think everyone forgot that Angels was supposed to play, so we showed up, and the Hard Rock's like, "Why are you guys here?" And
Who are you? Not really.
The truth is we walked in, and we had open arms, and they started kissing us on our necks slowly.
And they crowned you.
They crowned us kings of this room that we're in right here.
We're in the Hasselhoff suite.
Did you ever see his video where he's like riding a motorcycle or something, and he flies up, and he's flying with geese and shit?
It's the most amazing.
That's the most. What is that?
It's a David Hasselhoff
video.
It's a
cover of Hooked on the Feeling.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's flying with all these different animals and sherpas.
It's like insane, but it's like the worst graphics ever. Like, it makes the old Superman movies look like the newest, like, CGI tricks ever.
Now, tell us about the new CD. You said it was meant to be a part two of the first one. Was that true, or are you just blowing smoke out your ass?
No, that absolutely is true. We had a record called We Don't Need to Whisper. It came out about a year and a half or so ago, and we toured it very, very short period of time. Jumped back in the studio to because we felt like the whole... There's a very large, deep concept behind it, and it's not really a concept because at the time it was very much an autobiographical record, but we really wanted to try and be ambitious and do different things with our music and communicate it in different ways. And as I get serious for a second, we start working on a motion picture for it, and we're working on a bunch of really cool different technology ideas to try and launch this album and try and do things for music. I always say that, like, if some of the stuff we do works, it'll be really great for rock and roll. If it doesn't work, at least we tried, you know. And so we're really excited to come out with this new album, because I think over the next 12 months people will be able to watch Angels and Airwaves and see a lot of really ambitious risks and ideas and things that bands really haven't done in a really long time, and we're excited about it.
Is it like we've heard disco?
It's exactly what you've heard disco, exactly. Doesn't even stray at all from it. I mean, if the Bee Gees came into my house, made love with my own father, and then brought in ABBA to watch, that's what it is. Are you going to come to the show tonight in like 1 hour?
Absolutely.
Are you going to be like that one of those weird industry dudes that stand there and just go, "That's not that good. It's not that good."
Start a song, I'm going to go, "Heard it!"
Have you played our new song on your show yet in the morning?
Have we?
Great. Okay, thank
Alex
you.
Alex is shaking her head yes. So does that mean yes?
Of course we have.
Of course you have.
Of course.
I pay attention to our show.
I know.
Well, while the music is on, we're generally soaping each other up and, you know.
Got to get the lather. I've been in there for over the past 10 years, off and on. I would show up, we would talk, and every single time, covered in lather. It's weird.
We play it a lot, and it's the best thing I've ever heard.
Thank you so much, and honestly, I just wanted to let you know that we know.
It was real genuine. Yeah, that's sincere.
Can I pull that off?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
You can edit that other part where you said you never heard it before earlier.
Can you edit all of them out and just have me?
Somebody order Mexican.
As a matter of fact, we did. Thank you for asking. Sir Gustavo Arellano, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock. He is the author of Ask a Mexican newspaper column, now out as a book, too, through Amazon.com. Or where are you? In all the bookstores, too? Wherever?
Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon, everywhere in the United States.
It's a funny book. I've read a lot of it, and it's very funny. And some of it's informative, but a lot of it's very tongue-in-cheek and funny.
Thank you.
Now, Gustavo, I told you this off the air, but it bears repeating on. Our listeners have been demanding
demanding that we have you on as a guest. I guess you got a lot of fans from your column that's read in the Orange County Weekly. And people really respond to what it is you have to say. How do you describe Ask a Mexican to people who have never read it before?
Ask a Mexican is exactly how it sounds. I'll answer any and all questions about Mexicans. They could be racist, sexist, informative, about dwarves, whatever you want. I'll answer it.
Now, that's a good place to start, because one of the questions in your book is, why do Mexicans seem to love dwarves so much?
They do. The reason is because in the pre-Hispanic cultures of the Aztecs and the Olmecs, the dwarves, they were considered rain gods, and so they were worshipped in a way. So, of course, the past is ever-present for Mexicans, so that reveration for dwarves now manifests itself by putting dwarves on television and allowing them to chase big-bosomed women all over the screen.
And that's really, that's the best TV out there.
Isn't it?
What's better than dwarves chasing big-busted women around?
It's lovely.
Hey, where did the guy dressed up in the bee costume start, Gustavo?
That's El Chapulín Colorado, the red grasshopper, and he was this character by a guy who called himself Chespirito, Little Shakespeare. So it would be a comedy show, and that's how he ended up with a red suit and the little antenna, and it still comes out on television. Of course, Matt Groening cites El Chapulín directly as inspiration for Bumblebee Man. Yep, every sure. Mexican in the United States knows who this guy is, and even Gabachos for that matter.
Do you get people who complain that you try to speak for an entire race and they don't, you're not speaking for me?
Oh, absolutely. You have, I can't say it on the air, but I call them a certain thing, PC something or other. But no, you get people say, oh, who appointed you the Mexican? And I tell them, no one appointed me the Mexican. I'm just answering these questions. You can answer them as well. Of course, you're going to have to deal with a lot of racism. You're going to have to try to be funny and intellectual at the same time and do it week after week after week. Most people can't do that offer.
By the way, and without getting bitter about it, that's the difficult part, because you do get a lot of crap.
Oh my gosh, I get so much hate mail all the time, and a lot of people, the tendency is to cry and weep and moan about it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather debunk the stereotypes that they're trying to prove to me and have a lot of fun with it. So a lot of times if people send me like really bad things, I'll say, oh, thank you for being my fan.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they are. Nothing makes it more angry. By the way, we've learned this too. Your email was very funny. That's a good one.
Just write that back to them.
No matter what they're saying, it angers them.
Yeah.
Gustavo, why the Dodgers and why the Raiders? How did those teams become so immensely popular with American Hispanics?
The same reason why K-Rock is so popular amongst Latinos in Southern California. During the 80s, a lot of Latinos came of age. Mm-hmm. And so, they listened to K-Rock. That's why they love Morrissey, the Smiths, and all that stuff. And at the time, during the 80s, of course, the Dodgers, the Lakers, and the Raiders, they were winners. They were winning like crazy. Nowadays, of course, the Raiders are just terrible, but Latinos or Mexicans specifically are as big a bunch of front runners as white people can be. So, of course, you're going to like them. That's why you don't have so many people liking the Angels, because during the 80s, the Angels really weren't that good.
But they're good now.
They're good now. So now you have the latest generation of people now liking the Angels. But the Dodgers, at the same time, they kind of tanked for a little bit, but now they're better, especially now with Nomar Garciaparra.
Right.
You have a self-raised beaner from Southern California now playing for the home team. Everyone's going to love him.
Who's Psycho Mike, wants to play on his home team as well.
He certainly does.
Speaking of K-Rock, what do Mexicans think of Beck? He smokes a lot of weed and says a lot of gibberish in Spanish. You'd think they'd like him.
We don't like him because...
That's one of the questions in the book.
Yeah, his album, Güero, he forgot the umlaut on top of it, the two dots on top of the U, so it's a mispronunciation. And he had a chance to tell the world that Mexicans really, we call white people güeros, but the more popular term is gabacho. Mm-hmm. So he had a chance and he blew it.
So he didn't name his album Gabacho, so that's why he don't like
him? That's why I don't like
him. That's pretty rough.
You have to
now,
be.
Is it considered, should I be insulted if somebody calls me a gabacho?
It's the same term as a gringo, except it has a little bit more of an edge. Really, Mexicans use it because most gringos don't know the term gabacho, so that's just another way to... Right. Referenced to the gabacho without them knowing it.
I gotcha. What is your background, Gustavo? You were born in the United States or born in Mexico?
I was born in Anaheim. Both of my parents were immigrants. My mom was a legal immigrant. My dad was an illegal immigrant. He came to this country in the trunk of a Chevy in 1968, along with three other men. The way my dad tells it, each of the men paid two San Clemente hippie girls $50 a piece to drive them all the way from Tijuana to Chinatown here in L.A.
Is he still illegal and can we turn him in?
No. He was deported a couple of times and he jumped the border immediately. He's now a citizen, and in the great American tale of assimilation, now he thinks the latest batch of Mexicans are ruining this country.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the former illegal immigrant.
I'm half Mexican myself, but I just don't understand. Why do Mexicans wear their clothes when swimming?
Another one of the questions in your book.
The most asked question, actually, in Ask a Mexican History.
Really?
Of course, because it started here in Orange County, and it's still very popular in Southern California, and so everyone goes to the ocean. And the reason is that a lot of Mexicans, like a lot of white people, they're fat.
Right.
And so Mexicans are going to be more modest about it. We don't want to insult our neighbors with our rolls of fat, while gabachos, on the other hand, they're proud of the rolls.
Yeah, they're fine insulting and looking bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not good. How much time do you go back to Mexico at all? Do you ever spend any more time there?
Not really, because basically we have Mexico here in the United States now.
That's true.
Even growing up, my first language was Spanish. All the people that I grew up with, they all came from the same village that my mom came. What you've seen in the past 30 years with Mexican immigration, you've seen a hemorrhaging of villages to the United States where they reestablished their life. At the same time, though, you have the children, such as myself, being, you know, having one foot in the Mexican society, but also fully acculturating into this country.
I guess my question for you, and you probably hear this all the time on a serious note, is why have so many Mexicans given up on improving their home country?
You know, it's funny that people say that, because it's a double standard. Well, two-part question. Number one, Mexicans are improving their country. They come here, they make billions of dollars, and they send it back to Mexico, and that's where they build the roads, because the Mexican government is completely inefficient. But yet, people never ask the same question about previous waves of immigrants. It's understood in previous waves of immigration that they came to this country to stay and to make better lives for themselves. But because it's always Mexicans, and the American mind has always had this question mark about Mexicans, that's why there's always questions about Mexicans. There's always this doubt about what they're going to do to this country or whether they might even ruin it.
Here's another question from your book. Why do Mexicans pronounce shower as chower, but chicken as chicken?
it's etymology. In Castilian Spanish, there's not a SH sound. It's all hard CHs.
Right.
So, you know, obviously Mexicans speak Spanish, so they're going to be pronouncing that word. However, that sound is a part of a lot of indigenous languages in Mexico. You know, not a lot of people in Mexico, they don't even speak Spanish. They speak Indian languages. So if anyone pronounces their CHs as a SH, then they're probably of Indian descent.
Okay. Our friend Rudy from Boyle Heights on the phone. Good morning, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, eh, Gustavo?
Hey, ¿qué onda?
What's up, ese?
Nothing much, man. Pure anacrime, ese.
Hey, man, how come I got so many kids?
That's your question, Rudy?
My Uncle Creeper said, like, if you smoke enough Yesca, like, you can't, like, make no babies, right? But, like, I smoke crazy weed. I said, like, crazy weed. And, like, yeah, like, I got mad kids, man. And, like, Sad Girl's pregnant again. I don't know what to say.
Oh, not again.
Let me tell you what's up with that. I could give you an anthropological response and say that poor people have a lot of kids because they need to have more people that could make money for them.
Because they die. Also.
Exactly.
Many of their children die.
I could give you a theological response and say that Mexican Catholics don't believe in contraception, but let's get down to reality. There's no contraception in the world that could hold back Mexican sperm. It is by far the most powerful sperm on earth.
Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Fall Out Boy will come to my house.
Oh, yes.
That's spectacular.
Speaking of Pete Wentz, lead singer for Fall Out Boy, In Touch Magazine is reporting that he has designed his own clothing line for women, called Clandestine Jeans.
Oh.
He's making it for the DKNY Jeans Company. They're available at dknyjeans.com. Why would Pete Wentz design clothing for women?
Why?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because his girlfriend Ashley Simpson dresses so poorly. He's coming up with some ideas for her, but I think it's fabulous.
Is it?
Dance, dance. You can dance in these jeans. That's what I think. Bad news for Owen Wilson means good news for Matthew McConaughey. You remember how Owen Wilson had to drop out of the Ben Stiller movie Tropic Thunder after he reportedly tried to commit suicide? Well, Matthew McConaughey will be stepping into the role. E! News Daily reports that besides Stiller and now McConaughey, the rest of the cast includes Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., and Nick Nolte. Glad to see Nick Nolte getting back in the movies. Instead of just rolling around the floor drunk in airports, which is what he's been doing lately, but always glad to see Nick Nolte in a picture.
Now, my radio friend Ralph Garman, you've worked with Matthew McConaughey.
I have. I consider him a very, very close stranger.
Okay.
Acquaintance. Guy I met once.
Is he capable with the comedy?
Yes. I think that's his strong suit, actually. Well, he made his name, really, in those romantic comedies. His biggest hits have always been like that, what did he do with the one, the girl who looked like a foot?
How to Lose a Man in 10 Days is one with Kate Hudson.
And then he made another one with Foot Face, Sarah Jessica Parker.
My Dad's Terry Bradshaw.
Right, that's what it's called, My Dad's Terry Bradshaw.
But yeah, he does comedy pretty well. And in speaking of romantic comedies, good week for Matthew. He's also going to star opposite Jennifer Garner in a new romantic comedy called Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. He will play a bachelor, surprise, surprise, who goes to his younger brother's wedding, and there he's visited by the ghosts of his past girlfriends who try to hook him up with his true love, played by Jennifer Garner. So, a lot of Matthew in the pipeline for those who are Matthew fans. I count myself as one of them.
Handsome dude.
Be cooler if you did. Speaking of movies, MGM Studios is using 92 independent coffee shops in 59 cities in North America to promote its new movie, Feast of Love, which debuts on September the 28th. Apparently, the film is about a local coffee shop and all the love and friendships and people that walk in and out of that coffee shop amongst the town's residents. Greg Kinnear stars, Rhoda Mitchell, Billy Burke, Selma Blair, Jane Alexander, Fred Ward, Morgan Freeman also stars in the film. So in order to celebrate this film,
yes,
on Thursday, next Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m., all these coffee shops will be giving out free coffee. So if you're looking for some free coffee, go to feastoflovefilm.com, and they'll give you a list of all the independent coffee shops that are participating in the promotion. I'm guessing Starbucks is not amongst them.
No.
Because they don't like to give stuff away for free.
No. Not big fans of the free.
Like Pinkberries like to charge you up the wazoo. O.J. Simpson's now free on bail. Yesterday, a judge granted a $125,000 bond for Simpson, who stands accused of 10 charges relating to the weird sports memorabilia gun battle drug bust that happened in the Las Vegas hotel room. He's been ordered to stay away from all the individuals involved in that incident. Jeez, I wonder why. Because he's been known to slash people's throats!
Yeah.
Allegedly. He can't even involve himself in what they call third contact, which means he can't send anyone over to explain things to any of the witnesses in the case. So he has to have no contact with them whatsoever.
Totally different than third input.
Very different.
Oh, well, I'm just making sure.
He's back in Florida already. Caught a plane out of Las Vegas last night, and he's back home in Florida, the perfect state for O.J., where all the lunatics live. And speaking of lunatics, Oprah Winfrey asked Justin Timberlake yesterday what his take was on Britney Spears and her recent meltdown. What do you think is going on with Britney, Oprah asked. Justin said, I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't spoken to her in years. Then Oprah ate him. He said, what I do know about her is this. She has a huge heart and she's a great person. Yeah. Yeah. That may have been true at one time, Justin. Maybe you should reintroduce yourself to Ms. Brittany and see what's going on.
I believe she has a huge heart because she has...
I believe it.
I believe she has a huge heart. She has a huge a lot of things.
Yes, I think it's huge. It's packed with fat or something. That's why it's huge. It's just enormous. It's a shame. She's getting this rep for being fat. She's really not that fat.
All right.
We're just holding her to the standard of what she was like when she was doing the Oops, I Did It Again.
Well, no, we're holding to her to the standard of a sex symbol because that's all she is. She's not a singer. She's not a, you know what I'm saying? So if she was someone who sold herself on being an image and she's not holding up to her end of the bargain.
I dig that. But I'm saying, if you look at her objectively, she's really not that fat.
No. In fact, I wouldn't even describe her as fat. She's slightly overweight.
Right, but she's getting blasted.
But she's way too, because, like I said, she's a sex symbol.
Leave Britney alone, is what I'm saying.
She's not human!
Stop it! Leave her alone right now! You're lucky she even performed for you people.
But bottom line is she does have a FUPA, and she shouldn't wear FUPA-exposing clothes.
Well, she does make bad choices when it comes to clothing. That's for sure. You know who doesn't make bad choices?
Who
doesn't have a FUPA?
Who?
Hayden Panettiere. According to a lot of tabloids, she's got a new man in her life. She recently split up with Laguna Beach star Stephen Coletti.
Hey, yo, Stephen Coletti.
Hey, yo, Stephen. And they say that she's spotted getting close to her Heroes co-star, Milo Ventimiglia. Apparently, they are a new couple, so she's keeping it in the family. Keeping it in the Heroes family.
Good for him.
We have her song, right?
We do.
Her song got leaked last week. Apparently, she's working on a new CD, and she's been known to be a singer. She's sung live around town with the band from TV, band made up of TV actors. I know she's sung with them and has done other stuff. And so no one really knew what to expect when she said she was working on a CD. But we've heard this track that was leaked, maybe the first single off that CD. And I got to tell you, I think the girl, in terms of all those actress-singer types, has some talent. Here, take a listen and see what you think. You know the night when I gave my heart to you, and you swore that you felt the same too. You said that you would never ever leave me alone. Out of nowhere you were gone, into someone else's arms. Should have known that she was more than just a friend. She's got like an Avril Lavigne kind of vibe thing to her, something like that.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. If you like that happy pop stuff, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden, is 39 years old today. Kristen Johnston, who starred in Third Rock from the Sun and many, many motion pictures, she's 40 years old today. Gary Cole, one of our favorite actors.
Now, Ralph, I would really, really regret, I'd be remiss if I didn't play now Kevin.
The Moment with Kevin?
Kevin bringing Gary Cole onto the air. This is how he introduced himself.
Well, introduced him. I remember when we brought him in, I was sitting next to Gary Cole, and mm-hmm. Bean said, I know he's a big favorite of yours, Ralph. Why don't you introduce him? So I went through a brief history of his career, and then I said, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Cole.
Right, and this is where Kevin took that.
Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Seconds after I said, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Cole, and we all applauded. And he said, you're a guy, I don't know your name.
But that's not insulting, right? For the host to say that to you?
No. Especially not if you're an actor, because they like to be anonymous. Gary Cole is 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is a great story. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. It was just announced in New Mexico that they're trying to combat. Every state has the problem with the drunk drivers, and they do everything they can to kind of raise the awareness of don't drink and drive.
Right.
But they've come up with an unusual way to do it that I had not heard anyone do before, and that is talking urinal cakes.
Now, for you girls that don't frequent men's rooms,
yes.
They have like little, they're like hockey puck size cakes that they put in the urinals, and I think it's for to smell, make odor? It smell fresh, right? I guess.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
And now they're installing talking ones that'll give you a message. In New Mexico, it says, like, for example, you walk up to the urinal, it says, you drink, you drive, you lose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have that printed on the top of the hockey puck, and then it also talks to you. And it basically, you know, it's a suggestion for people who are hitting the head, as my dad used to say in the Navy, on their way out of the bar at night. It's basically just a reminder, hey, don't drink and drive. And it's a pilot program. They got 500 of them in bars all over New Mexico, and they're going to wait and see how it goes. They cost $21 each, by the way, to buy these.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made by a company in China, and I love the name of the company, Wismark.
Wismark.
That's awesome.
Wismark. No word on whether they're working on a talking tampon for the ladies. But right now, no, I'm just saying, because
yeah, well, don't
women,
say.
They drink and drive, too, though. So right now,
it's
talking,
not like they're all on their period.
That's not the, that's
well,
not.
They do it.
Oh, man.
But when they are, odd. Lisa, they'll be so safe, is what I'm saying.
You're an odd man.
What's wrong with you?
So the urinal cakes we first heard about in this story in New Mexico, but now we're asking around, and apparently they got them here at K-Rock already. And I don't know if that's because we've had so many, you know, people pulled over and arrested on their way home from work. From here, but apparently they're using them here at the building.
The talking on urinal cakes?
Mm-hmm.
Talking, yeah. Psycho Mike, did we bug the restroom? That's how we got this?
Yeah, Omar and I yesterday, we decided to find out a little bit of like what it sounds like in these urinals with people talking back and forth with urinal cakes. So we just, you know, put a little hidden microphone action, and this is what we got.
So who's the first person that goes into the restroom?
I think it's Jed Fish.
Jed.
Oh, okay.
My hidden microphone in the restroom.
Oh, 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, it's Jed the Fish.
Hello, Jed the Fish.
I remember I filleted Terrence Trent D'Arby in the bathroom at the Viper Room in 91.
That is interesting.
Ah!
No. Number one only. Number one only.
That's Jed's catch of the day for sure. Oh, no more fiber con for the Jedster.
Oh.
Why? Yell the urinal cake.
Oh, did he say asshole? Is that what he said? Oh, that's sad.
That's awful.
Now I never thought I'd feel bad for a urinal cake, but Jed shouldn't have done that.
When the urinal cake was shouting number one only, that's a bad sign right there, right?
All right, who do we have next?
Doc on the Rock.
Oh,
he's constantly the bad.
No.
Destroying
destroying it.
Doc is the guy who runs down the hallway with the newspaper in his arm, and he says this.
It's time.
Oh, God.
And we're all like, we don't need to know. So here's a little of that.
Well, you see, they finally put a new urinal cake in here.
Good morning.
Urinal cakes were first developed by the ancient Romans, who also collected urine to use for dry cleaning purposes.
What are you talking about?
Urinal cakes were used in Vietnam to repel bugs and other pests that bothered GIs in the trenches.
If you could just go to the bathroom, that'd be great.
Urinal cakes have been designed now to talk.
No, seriously, shut the f*** up.
No, you shut the f*** up.
Asshole.
What do you guys do over there after the show's air? Well, you just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Well, that's what we might.
And who's next? We have one more?
Omar goes in, I guess.
DJ
know.
Omar Khan?
Yeah, idiot. He's fried his brain, forgot that we bugged
you. You bugged it. You put the microphone in there.
Must have forgot.
What in God's name?
Ones and twos, baby. Let me get this kid up here.
Urinal Cake 2000 welcomes you to the laboratory. That. Sir, what are you doing?
That's some good shit. DJ Omar Khan, I'm DJ Omar Khan.
Sir, are you aware that methamphetamine causes
who's that?
Brain damage and can affect the central nervous system?
You, Urinal Cake, DJ Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan.
That's the drugs talking, sir. Are you really angry at me, or are you angry at yourself?
Well, now that I look at it, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I should rethink how I'm living my life. Thanks, Urinal Cake.
It's my pleasure, Omar. I'm not just here to get peed on.
How about that? Making a difference.
That is a sweet story, I have to say.
Thank you.
I know a guy who's never been to any concert ever. He's 40 years old, has never been to a live musical event in any sort.
40, and he's never been. We were talking.
Never been to an Inland Invasion, never been to a Weenie Roast, never an Acoustic Christmas, never gone to see a band in a nightclub,
never seen
live music performed anywhere.
Like,
ever.
Just by accident, you think you'd stumble into a restaurant where...
Maybe there's a piano playing in the background or something, but he's never gone to a venue specifically to see music being performed.
Is he dead set against it?
No. Just has never crossed his radar. Never been put in a situation where someone said, you want to go see the Philharmonic at the Hollywood Bowl? Nothing like that.
My uncle never goes to see a movie.
Really?
Just hasn't seen a movie in maybe 30 years.
Does he like movies? Or?
Yeah, loves them.
Watches them on TV,
DVD, that kind of
Rents
stuff.
Rents DVDs, just does not
go
to movies.
To a movie
and
theater.
And I asked him one time, it's not necessarily just that he hates, you know, the going and the parking and the people so much. It's just he doesn't go.
Just not worth
his
time.
He just doesn't go.
Not going to make the effort.
Yeah.
I've never been on a pair of skis, and a lot of people think that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
No water skis, no snow skis, nothing. Ski of any kind. I've never skied in any form.
Including snowboarding. You've never tried
it. Sand skied.
Really?
If there is such a thing. Never
there
done that.
There actually is, yeah.
Are you dead set against that?
Nope.
Or?
Just never. Even when we did like our singles trip up at Big Bear, whatever we did.
Why didn't you try it then?
Just, there was booze.
Never.
There was booze.
Booze and women.
As long as there's booze and women.
And I just couldn't get around to the whole skiing thing. It was low on my list of priorities. I guess that's something. I said, oh, I'm dying to try it. I guess if I felt that way, I would do it. But I've never been in a situation where people say, hey, you want to go skiing?
You run into people all the time, and they'll tell you stuff like this. I've never done fill in the blank. And you go, can you be a human being and be on this earth and never have skied once or go to a movie or your friend, 40, never been to a concert?
Do you think there are people who've grown up here that have never, like, put their feet in the ocean?
I bet that's true.
You think?
I bet.
How about growing up here and never seen the ocean?
No. There's no way.
Yeah, everybody else seems to be doing something and you don't, for whatever reason. And not necessarily because you're so young, you've never done it, you know, whatever. But if you're a decent age and you've never flown on an airplane, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
How can people avoid it? You know, you wonder.
Let's talk to Greg in Costa Mesa. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Greg.
First of all, how old are you, Greg?
39 this month.
And you've never?
Never been to Dodger Stadium.
Never been to a Dodger game?
Never, and I've been in Orange County all my life.
You grew up in Orange County. You've never been to Dodger Stadium. Are you an Angels fan?
Angel fan, big time.
So, but you've never gone to see the Angels play the Dodgers when they were there?
No, just at Anaheim, at Edison Field.
No concerts there? No anything?
Never.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Dodger hater.
I guess so.
So you're avoiding Dodger Stadium.
I can see that. All right, thank you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Dude, you got to get yourself one of those Dodger dogs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell them that. That's good stuff. Sabrina, 27 years old, from Rosemead. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
Now, what have you never done?
I've never been to Venice Beach or Melrose.
Never been to
You've never been on Melrose Boulevard?
I've never been on Melrose.
Where do you live?
Rosemead.
I live here in Rosemead.
It's not that far.
How long have you lived there?
I lived here all my life.
All your life?
What is wrong with you, Sabrina?
Never been to Venice, never been on Melrose.
Never been to Venice, never been to Melrose.
Why?
Recently, I think it was 2 years ago, I barely went to, I only saw the outside of Grohmann's Chinese Theater.
You barely went.
I barely saw all that.
You just ran past it real quick?
And even the star, the
she did a drive-by.
Same thing, too.
Sabrina, come enjoy your...
Why aren't you enjoying your life? Why don't you slow down and see a few things?
Come enjoy your city, girlfriend.
That's so weird.
There's a lot. We have a lot to offer you.
All right, thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Bye now. Melrose. I'm on Melrose every day. I love Melrose.
All right, listen to some of these. Some of these are unbelievable. I knew we would get a great response from this because, for some reason, listen to Johnny, who's 23, from Santa Monica. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, how are you?
Now, first of all, are you a religious guy?
I am. I'm very religious. That's not the main reason why I don't do it, though.
But that doesn't count.
Okay, but I want to hear his reason.
All right, go ahead. Tell people what you've never done.
I've never had a sip of alcohol my whole life, and I've never done a drug, ever.
You poor, poor bastard.
Sound like Bean.
You would think so, but the thing is, I go out to bars all the time. I dance. I get I'm stupid enough to where I don't need alcohol to do something ignorant.
I know.
Like,
you're high on life.
I'm happy in life.
You see the world clearly, and you don't need to have your adjustments.
But Johnny, listen. We can buy that if you say, I don't drink regularly. But to say you've never touched alcohol to your mouth is a whole different level. That's just kind of, it's a little more bizarre than that.
I'm not saying that I need to have my mind clear or anything like that. It's just not for me. Like, I never did it.
How do you know?
You never got loaded.
My parents told me, like, when I was real young, like, hey, we'd like you not to drink. And I was like, all right. When I got my wisdom teeth taken out, they give you drugs for it or whatever.
Right, sure.
Right.
So I took it, and then I went to, I'm from Missouri. It's a place called Steak and Shake. It's kind of like a expensive In-N-Out.
Right.
And I go to eat, and I ended up getting in my underwear by the end of the evening, and the cops had to come and take me out because I don't even really remember it.
All right, see? I want you to
good
drink.
Time.
I want you to drink, Johnny.
I remember getting real upset, like, because this kid was eating in his pajamas. I'm like, you guys wouldn't let me come eat in my pajamas. And I got real mad. I was like, no, that's it. And I went down and got my underwear.
That
was during the time when I actually wasn't wearing underwear, so I kind of was just naked. And then the cops had to show up. It was kind of embarrassing.
See? Drinking's like that every weekend for me.
Yeah.
Come on, Johnny. Get with it.
Drink.
Come on. All the kids are doing it.
Don't you want to be cool? All right, Johnny, thank you for the call. We got to move along, but thank you very much. These calls are unbelievable. I didn't think that we would get some of these huge ones. Georgia is 51.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you've never done what?
I've never used an ATM.
No way.
You and Donald Trump.
How can you be 51 and have, A, be listening to the show, and B, never use an ATM?
Oh, that was cruel. That was very cruel.
Sorry.
But, I use my bonds card, so I get $50 cash. I use check.
No, we understand all that, but what we're saying is there's a huge difference between seldom using an ATM and never using an ATM.
I've never, ever used one. I don't even have an ATM card.
Are you afraid?
No, I've just never needed one.
Everyone needs one.
I have to tell this story every time this comes up. I had a rich friend who never used an ATM, and I had to use it one time, and he was watching over my shoulder. He said, how do you do it? I said, you do it like this. You punch in the code, you put in $20, and then it says insufficient funds, no money.
No money came out.
But he didn't use an ATM because he had so much money that I guess he always carried around cash with him or something like
George,
that.
George, are you rich?
Well, I have $100 in my wallet.
But are you rich?
Well, what's
are you? Do you have? Are you worth more than $1 million?
No.
Okay. Well, then you should be using an ATM. Get with it.
Okay.
Thank you,
Don't
Georgia.
Get one right now.
51. Never used an ATM.
I mean, sometimes you just have to deposit a check or whatever. It's so much more convenient.
You
I don't
go
even
into the
get
bank.
That.
We didn't even ask her that. Do you go into the bank when you have to deposit?
She must. She has to.
That would be a nightmare for me. Banks right out there with the post office for me in lines.
Blaze, 25 in Chatsworth. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Blaze, I can guess this one has never had a man's name.
You've never done what, Blaze?
I have never sent or received an email.
Okay, do you have a computer?
Yeah, I have a computer, and you know what? I had some friends that got so pissed, they set up like an email account for me. Never used it, never sent anything, never... I don't even know if I got anything.
Do you not want to, or you just have never kind of gotten around to it?
A mixture of both, I guess. I just don't really care. And two,
Well, it's not going to take off. Don't worry about that, Blaze. It won't take off.
Yeah, the internet's a fad.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. You don't even need to do it. Don't worry about that.
One of these ones is conspiracy guys who thinks the government's tracking his emails.
That could be.
And finally, Kaya, 21, from Manhattan Beach. Good morning.
Hi.
You've never done what?
I've never had sex.
Oh.
Kaya, meet Ralph.
You come
Ralph
down here
Kaya.
This weekend, sweetie. We're going to fix you up.
Thank God somebody is finally tackling the tough issues. That's all I have to say. I don't know if our guest Aaron Perlett is running for anything, but I'm certainly going to vote for him. He is the executive director of the American Mustache Institute. It's AmericanMustacheInstitute.org. Aaron, thank you so much for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me on. I actually was going to run for something, but then I had this incident in a bathroom stall where I was kind of rubbing my leg underneath the...
Did you tap three times?
Yeah, I did, and I put my luggage in front of the door of the guy next to me, so it's really very odd. I don't really like to go into it, so let's move on.
I don't blame you. Listen, is there really... We've been laughing all week when we saw your site, but is there really discrimination going on in this country in 2007 against dudes with mustaches?
Oh, there is no question there is. I mean, even on the home front for me, my wife says, you know, I love the man, not the mustache. There's a lot worse things my husband could be doing, but, you know, I'd prefer you without it. But you know, whether you look in the workplace, whether you look in pop culture, whether you look just socially, the mustache certainly went out of fashion the end of the 70s, maybe the early 1980s.
Right.
You know, the last people to really successfully sport the stash were guys like Magnum P.I., which we need to get to because I heard about this whole Nick Cage nonsense. But you know, Tom Selleck, a mustache guy who, of course, shaved his mustache when he did Three Men and a Baby. Burt Reynolds is still one of the champions of the mustache. But, I mean, think about the national broadcast spectrum. Who was the last newscaster, an actual anchor, to wear a mustache? It was Walter Cronkite, who left the air in 84.
Right.
You know, the only guys now on air that are still sporting a stash are... Geraldo Rivera, I'm not sure he counts, and John Stossel on ABC.
That's what I was going to mention. He's proudly with a mustache on the air of the week, right?
He's got a great mustache. But you know, a perfect world for me. I want to see Brian Williams on NBC grow a mustache. I want to see Charles Gibson grow a mustache. If Katie Couric wants to grow one, that's cool with me too. But we want to see that. But there's, you know, there has been a certain level, I think, of discrimination against the mustache American in the workplace as well.
Aaron, what do you do for a living that doesn't have you busy enough?
I'm an international sponge designer and a pastry repair chef.
So you're a comedian.
If there's a Boston cream pie that needs filling, I'm there.
Oh, easy, dude.
Well, that sounds vaguely nerdy. You know, it's interesting. I'm on your site, AmericanMustacheInstitute.org, and it's funny because you got these pictures of people who have recently worn mustaches. And, for instance, in the world of film, I guess an actor, when he puts a mustache on, it's a joke. Borat is on your site. Will Ferrell, in his role as the Anchorman, he grows a mustache. It's almost like nobody thinks you can be taken seriously in a movie if you're rocking a stash.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's kind of a shame. That's why, as I was saying, Burt Reynolds is one of the few guys who has consistently worn a mustache since right after he did Deliverance, maybe in the early 70s he grew his. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it's almost a parody of someone. I mean, look at Will Ferrell's character in Anchorman. I mean, that was a parody of the 1970s Anchorman.
Right,
in the 70s. You had the mustaches and the turtlenecks going hand in hand everywhere.
I'd like to ask a question just to make sure I'm on the same page as you two. You, Aaron, sound like you're being serious, and Bean's asking serious questions. We're all this is a big joke, right?
I think, you know, we like, there's no question, there's a lot of fun about the mustache, no question about it, but, you know, we do believe in our mission, and that is to, you know, stand up and try for the mustached American, and also try to bring the mustache back into popular culture.
Right, but as a punchline, right?
You know what? I'd love to see more people wearing mustaches. I wear a thick, rich, and luxurious mustache, and I'd love to see more people doing the same.
Yeah, but aren't you just complaining about a fashion trend? I mean, you could as easily be a guy who's trying to bring back the tie-dye shirt. I mean, it's in or it's out, and maybe it'll come back. But I can't imagine that you're going to make that change.
Well, you know, every movement starts with something that helps begin the movement, whether it's some kind of action, whether it's some kind of think tank group like us, or, you know, whether it's some kind of incident that
you're
draws
a knee
jerk. You're not
a think tank group.
Oh, no, we're a think
you're
tank
not
group.
A think tank group.
We're a think tank group. We're a research organization. You know, we are a catalyst for movement in American culture. The American Mustache Institute is an August group with a proud history.
Hey, hang on a second, because the anchor man has a response to Lisa's question.
You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Exactly. Hey, two quick things for you, Aaron. Number one is, I think I saw something in your press release that made a reference to discrimination in the courtroom based on a potential juror with a mustache. What's that story?
That was actually from a story in the London Daily Telegraph. There was a Supreme Court case about a juror that was removed for having a mustache. And quite frankly, that was news to me, but these are the kind of issues that we're looking into, the hard issues, the serious issues.
Dude, that guy's hiding behind something.
He's hiding behind a mustache.
That's what I'm saying.
It's probably this enormous handlebar thing that no one could stop staring at.
It's like a clown, man. You see that painted on smile and you go, there's something evil underneath there. It's the same thing with a mustache.
And the other point is, Psycho Mike, who works here on the show, who doesn't have a mustache but should grow one, he has a complaint about Keith Hernandez being named as the top sports mustache of all time on your site. Mike, what's your problem with Keith as a selection? Because he's the first name that came to my mind.
You know, Keith Hernandez, great mustache, but how dare you overlook 70s Olympic swimmer Mark Spitz?
All right, let's address this. Let's address it head on.
Is this the big controversy?
I'm not ducking anything here. This is controversial, no question about it. July 16th, we put out a news release asking for votes from the American people of the greatest sports mustache of all time. We put up 12 options, but also allowed for write-in candidates. Keith Hernandez actually was not one of those options we put up. He won as a write-in candidate. If I had a vote...
Was Mark Spitz one of the options?
He was not.
Okay.
He was not. But as a certified mustachologist, I would have chosen Raleigh Fingers.
Nice. Now, that's a great mustache.
He has a tremendous mustache, and he still has his mustache, unlike a lot of sports stars that became known for their mustaches. So Keith Hernandez was voted by the American people, and, you know, while our blue ribbon panel of certified mustachologists put up 12, and those 12 weren't chosen as the winner, we've got to stand by because that's what the people said.
But isn't the lesson of George Bush being elected twice, sometimes you need to just throw out the people's vote and just appoint someone?
There's more lessons from that than I could cover here today.
Isn't the lesson from AmericanMustacheInstitute.org that we have too much web use? There's too much
How
internet.
How dare you? How dare you?
There's too much. We have too much internet.
Actually, what I would suggest is that the lesson from American Mustache Institute is that what the network newscasts are covering is not what the American people are interested in seeing, because the blogosphere has exploded with interest in the mustache.
Exactly.
American Mustache Institute. Go look at our video on YouTube about our recent stash bash.
Aaron, stop acting like we're going to go check it out, like it's real.
I'm on it right now. I'm looking at it right now. What are you talking about?
What's wrong with you?
I'm going to go look at bloggers writing on a computer about mustaches. What the hell? Come on! Is there a bigger exercise in futility ever?
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Bloggers writing about mustaches.
All right. We're out of time. Aaron Perlitt is the executive director of the American Mustache Institute, and the website is AmericanMustacheInstitute.org. I've made a decision right now. I'm going to start growing one. That's all there is to it. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Bye now. Right now, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
That's the first prize. Fall Out Boy comes to your house, performs. Second prize, they come there twice.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 7:53 in the a.m. The boys are on vacation. However, your old radio pal Ralph is sticking around all week bringing you the latest in showbiz news. Joining me in the studio, our very own Psycho Mike.
Hi.
Let's take a look at what's happening in the world of entertainment, shall we? This week I mentioned that Britney Spears was, in essence, chastised by a judge who said that he believed she had a substance and alcohol problem. And so, as a condition to the custody battle, he said that she was going to have to be tested randomly twice a week for controlled substances and alcohol, because he wants her sober if she's going to be watching her kids. Crazy judge. And then I reported that immediately after that courtroom proceeding, later that night she was seen partying at Winston's and Hyde here in Los Angeles, getting her booze on. Well, God bless the K-Rock listeners. I got an email from our listener Mario, who had the following to say. Yo, Ralph. Yeah, I saw Britney at Club Hyde last night. She was fashnickered for sure. She grabbed my friend's ass only after getting in a fight with the bathroom attendant where she tried to take the whole pack of cigarettes that sits behind the sink. I believe the proper etiquette is to tip the bathroom person a buck and take one cigarette. Well, Brittany is Brittany, and she figured she deserved the whole pack. If only Lindsay was there doing rails, then the whole night would have been complete. So just thought I would share. Thanks, Mario. And Mario, yes, thank you so much for that eyewitness account of what I was talking about, of Brittany just off her nut at Hyde after the judge told her she was going to be tested biweekly in order to retain custody of her children.
She's a human! What you don't realize is that Brittany's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her.
Sorry about that. Gotta report the news, though, son. Ah, Rose McGowan, Robert Rodriguez, may be walking down the aisle, if you believe the New York Post. Lately, she's been seen spotting a new diamond engagement ring, and everyone is presuming it's from her boyfriend, director Robert Rodriguez. However, she will not confirm or deny these rumors. Of course, the two met on the set of Grindhouse, where she was appearing in that zombie movie for Robert Rodriguez. He was married at the time. Only a few months later, he was single, and they were together. Funny how that worked out. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. O.J. Simpson's now free on bail. Yesterday, a judge granted a $125,000 bond for Simpson, who stands accused of 10 charges relating to that bizarre incident in Las Vegas involving what O.J. alleges was some stolen sports memorabilia that this dude was trying to sell. He's been ordered to stay away from all the individuals involved in the incident, including any third-person contact. And he had to surrender his passport. He can't leave the country. But the judge said he could leave Nevada, which he did. Heading to the airport last night, he's now in Florida. Outside the courthouse, there was a guy in a chicken suit waiting for O.J. Also, another guy with a sign reading O.J. in 07. And another guy with a T-shirt that simply read, I love famous people.
Rad.
Yeah. This is going to be the circus of all circuses once the court trial starts. And reportedly, it is going to go to trial. So we got that to look forward to. O.J.'s not going down without a fight.
What God a mess.
Bless him. Bill Clinton doing his best to pimp his wife's campaign. He's been showing up on a lot of TV shows. Where it is now, he's going to appear next on The View.
That'll be great.
That should be awesome. Hope he gets into it with that Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
I hope he has limoncellos with Clooney before he goes on. He comes on hammered.
He's going to do Martha Stewart as well. Former president of the United States showing up on Martha Stewart to cook some zucchini fritters, talking about his wife's campaign.
What guys will do for their lady.
Ain't that the truth? I think she said, look, listen, mister, you were in the Oval Office getting Hummers, and I stood by you. Now payback's a bitch.
Sure is.
Go on Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Make a meatloaf and talk about how great I am.
And, well, I her,
dear,
her
go- I'll go.
Her goal is to win back, you know, the female voters. What better audience to go to than The View and Martha Stewart and stuff like that?
It's true. That's her target audience. Owen Wilson had to drop out of a Ben Stiller movie called Tropic Thunder after...
This is a mess.
Poor Owen. After he reportedly tried to commit suicide. Well, looks like Matthew McConaughey will be stepping into the role. E! News has announced that he will be appearing besides Ben Stiller. The cast also includes a whole bunch of high-priced talent, including Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., and Nick Nolte. Oh. You got Nolte, Robert Downey Jr. Well, you got Nick Nolte and Matthew McConaughey, both guys who like their cocktails. And you got Robert Downey Jr., who's desperately trying to stay on the wagon. That's a bad mix.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, let's go out and roll on the floor in Hawaii in an airport and get loaded.
Still the single best mugshot ever.
Absolutely.
Celebrities.
Yeah, that hair and that Hawaiian shirt, spectacular. Speaking of Matthew, he's also got a new gig. Reportedly, he's in negotiations to star opposite Jennifer Garner in a movie called Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, a romantic comedy in which Matthew, who plays a committed bachelor, there's a shocker, something he's never tackled before, goes to his younger brother's wedding, and there he's visited by the ghosts of his past girlfriends who try to hook him up with the true love of his life, played by Jennifer Garner. So,
all his ex-girlfriends are dead?
No, I think they just come to him in visions.
Oh.
I hope they're all dead. That'd be creepy. I know it sounds like a typical chick flick, but with Matthew and Jennifer Garner, I'm in. It's like this Good Luck Chuck thing. I'm just torn up about this Good Luck Chuck.
This is a real conundrum.
It is. I'm perplexed. I am vexed by this because you got Dane Cook, one of the least funny men on the planet. And I've really just had a personal embargo against his work ever since he started. But then you got Jessica Alba.
Right.
Who looks hot in everything, but she looks especially...
Over the top hot in this one.
Yes, especially hot and cute and adorable. And in her panties, apparently, in at least two or three scenes.
From what I can tell from the commercials, she's a big whore in this movie.
Yeah.
She's always topless or...
And desperate to hump and just panties akimbo throughout the whole thing. Constantly losing her skirts, getting ripped off. She had little penguin panties on. She just covers up her little special area. Mm. Yeah, how do you not go see that? But then you got Dane Cook.
I will say, though, I think he probably is a lot better as a comedic actor in these kind of middle-of-the-road movies as opposed to his stand-up. You know,
cause I guess, but because he's still him, though, right?
The cachet that he has is on his stand-up is that he makes things look funny. They might not be very funny, but he has a lot of animation and character to them. So maybe when he's on camera with a script... He can bring it to life.
You're desperately trying to talk yourself into being able to go to see this movie, aren't you?
I think so. Do whatever I can to justify it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gary Cole, one of our favorite actors around here. He, of course...
Different Strokes.
No, he was on
Surreal Life.
Gary Coleman was in Different Strokes. Gary Cole...
Oh, damn it.
...was in Office
Space.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to need you to work this weekend. Yeah, that'd be great. That guy.
Lumbergh will go down in history as one of the greatest cult characters in movies.
Played Ricky Bobby's dad in Talladega Nights, too. Mm-hmm. Been in a bunch of good movies. He is 51 years old today. Kristen Johnston, Third Rock from the Sun, is 40 years old today. And Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden, turns 39 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
That's the first prize. Fall Out Boy comes to your house. Performs. Second prize, they come there twice.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 7:53 in the a.m. The boys are on vacation. However, your old radio pal Ralph is sticking around all week bringing you the latest in showbiz news. Joining me in the studio, our very own Psycho Mike.
Hi.
Let's take a look at what's happening in the world of entertainment, shall we? This week I mentioned that Britney Spears was, in essence, chastised by a judge who said that he believed she had a substance and alcohol problem, and so as a condition to the custody battle, he said that she was going to have to be tested randomly twice a week for controlled substances and alcohol, because he wants her sober if she's going to be watching her kids. Crazy judge. And then I reported that immediately after that courtroom proceeding, later that night, she was seen partying at Winston's and Hyde here in Los Angeles, getting her booze on. Well, God bless the K-Rock listeners. I got an email from our listener, Mario, who had the following to say. Yo, Ralph. Yeah, I saw Britney at Club Hyde last night. She was fashnickered for sure. She grabbed my friend's ass only after getting in a fight with the bathroom attendant, where she tried to take the whole pack of cigarettes that sits behind the sink. I believe the proper etiquette is to tip the bathroom person a buck and take one cigarette. Well, Britney is Britney, and she figured she deserved the whole pack. If only Lindsay was there doing rails, then the whole night would have been complete. So just thought I would share. Thanks, Mario. And Mario, thank you so much for that eyewitness account of what I was talking about, of Britney just off her nut at Hyde after the judge told her she was going to be tested biweekly in order to retain custody of her children.
She's a human! What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her.
Sorry about that. Gotta report the news, though, son. Rose McGowan, Robert Rodriguez, may be walking down the aisle, if you believe the New York Post. Lately, she's been seen spotting a new diamond engagement ring, and everyone is presuming it's from her boyfriend, director Robert Rodriguez. However, she will not confirm or deny these rumors. Of course, the two met on the set of Grindhouse, where she was appearing in that zombie movie for Robert Rodriguez. He was married at the time. Only a few months later, he was single, and they were together. Funny how that worked out. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. O.J. Simpson's now free on bail. Yesterday, a judge granted a $125,000 bond for Simpson, who stands accused of 10 charges relating to that bizarre incident in Las Vegas involving what O.J. was alleged was some stolen sports memorabilia that this dude was trying to sell. He's been ordered to stay away from all the individuals involved in the incident, including any third-person contact. And he had to surrender his passport. He can't leave the country. But the judge said he could leave Nevada, which he did. Heading to the airport last night, he's now in Florida. Outside the courthouse, there was a guy in a chicken suit waiting for O.J. Also, another guy with a sign reading O.J. in 07. And another guy with a t-shirt that simply read, I love famous people.
Rad.
Yeah. This is going to be the circus of all circuses once the court trial starts. And reportedly, it is going to go to trial. So we have that to look forward to. O.J.'s not going down without a fight.
What a mess.
Bless him. Bill Clinton is doing his best to pimp his wife's campaign. He's been showing up on a lot of TV shows. Where it is now, he's going to appear next on The View.
That'll be great.
That should be awesome. Hope he gets into it with that Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
I hope he has limoncellos with Clooney before he goes on. He just comes on hammered.
He's going to do Martha Stewart as well. Former president of the United States showing up on Martha Stewart to cook some zucchini fritters, talking about his wife's campaign.
What guys will do for their lady.
Ain't that the truth? I think she said, look, listen, mister, you were in the Oval Office getting Hummers, and I stood by you. Now payback's a bitch.
Sure is.
Go on Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Make a meatloaf and talk about how great I am.
And, well, I mean, her goal is to win back, you know, the female voters. What better audience to go to than The View and Martha Stewart and stuff like that?
It's true. That's her target audience. Owen Wilson had to drop out of a Ben Stiller movie called Tropic Thunder after...
This is a mess.
Poor Owen. After he reportedly tried to commit suicide... Well, looks like Matthew McConaughey will be stepping into the role. E! News has announced that he will be appearing besides Ben Stiller. The cast also includes a whole bunch of high-priced talent, including Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., and Nick Nolte. Oh. You got Nolte, Robert Downey Jr. Well, you got Nick Nolte and Matthew McConaughey, both guys who like their cocktails. And you got Robert Downey Jr., who's desperately trying to stay on the wagon. That's a bad mix.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, let's go out and... roll on the floor in Hawaii in an airport and get loaded.
Still the single best mugshot ever.
Absolutely.
Celebrities.
Yeah, that hair and that Hawaiian shirt, spectacular. Speaking of Matthew, he's also got a new gig. Reportedly, he's in negotiations to star opposite Jennifer Garner in a movie called Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, a romantic comedy in which Matthew, who plays a committed bachelor, there's a shocker, something he's never tackled before, goes to his younger brother's wedding. And there he's visited by the ghosts of his past girlfriends who try to hook him up with the true love of his life, played by Jennifer Garner. So
all his ex-girlfriends are dead?
No, I think they just come to him in visions.
Oh.
I hope they're all dead. That'd be creepy. I know it sounds like a typical chick flick, but with Matthew and Jennifer Garner, I'm in. It's like this Good Luck Chuck thing. I'm just torn up about this Good Luck Chuck.
This is a real conundrum.
It is. I'm perplexed. I am vexed by this because you got Dane Cook, one of the least funny men on the planet. And I've really just had a personal embargo against his work ever since he started. But then you got Jessica Alba.
Right.
Who looks hot in everything, but she looks especially...
over the top hot in this one.
Yes, especially hot and cute and adorable. And in her panties, apparently, in at least two or three scenes.
From what I can tell from the commercials, she's a big whore in this movie.
Yeah.
She's always topless or...
and desperate to hump and just panties akimbo throughout the whole thing. Constantly losing her skirts, getting ripped off. She had little penguin panties on. She just covers up her little special area.
Mm.
Yeah, how do you not go see that? But then you got Dane Cook.
I will say, though, I think he probably is a lot better as a comedic actor in these kind of middle of the road movies as opposed to his stand up, you know,
because I guess, but
because
he's still him though, right?
The catch, the cachet that he has is on his stand up is that he makes things look funny. They might not be very funny, but he has a lot of animation and character to them. So maybe when he's on camera with a script,
he can bring it to life.
You're desperately trying to talk yourself into being able to go to see this movie, aren't you?
I think so. I'll do whatever I can to justify it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gary Cole, one of our favorite actors around here. He, of course...
Different Strokes.
No.
And he was on The Surreal Life.
Gary Coleman was in Different Strokes. Gary Cole...
Oh, damn it.
...was in Office...
Space.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to need you to work this weekend. Yeah, that'd be great. That guy.
Lumbergh will go down in history as one of the greatest cult characters in movies.
Played Ricky Bobby's dad in Talladega Nights, too. Mm-hmm. Been in a bunch of good movies. He is 51 years old today. Kristen Johnston, Third Rock from the Sun, is 40 years old today. And Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden, turns 39 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa is getting something called a G-shot. We've got details coming up on K-Rock. Very excited.
I hope there's a webcam involved wherever that surgery is being held today. Is it today or tomorrow? When are you doing that?
It's today. I think what you want the webcam for is the trying it out.
Sure, too. Yeah. We're fine with that, too.
Well, we have many questions about that. That'll be later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, keep listening for your chance to win those Fall Out Boy tickets. They are on sale. They're playing the Forum, and they're playing the Honda Center. We're giving away tickets to the latter night and backstage passes and their Infinity on High CD and a key that could start a brand-new Honda Civic that is specially tricked out by the Fall Out Boy guys themselves. So keep listening. Your chance to win that coming up on K-Rock.
Big trouble in Mexico. I don't know if you've seen this, but Mexico's National Association of Actors Union are the ones that are responsible for the voice actors who translate The Simpsons into Spanish.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. We know, we think of, Dan Castellaneta, for instance, is our Homer Simpson for the last 18 years. But there's a guy who plays Homer in many countries around the world. You know, there's an Indian Homer, and then there's a Mexican Homer, and then, there's a Portuguese Homer. I mean, it's very funny to think that there's a whole another set of Simpsons out there.
And these Simpsons, apparently this union, the Mexican National Association of Actors Union, went on strike in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the producers told them to get them to come back off strike is, we will let you do the movie as well. And now apparently they're being told they can't do the movie.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
Now, this Simpsons movie, we've been waiting for, it seems like 10 years since they first said they were going to put a movie out, but it's finally coming out this summer. In a couple of months, it's going to be coming out, so it seems like now would be the time that these guys ought to be voicing the movie if they're going
to
do it.
I went to see Shooter over this past weekend, and there was a trailer for this, and I was so excited to see the Simpsons movie. But the guys who do the voices in Mexico apparently are not being used for the movie. They're upset. They're threatening to strike again.
Well, that seems bogus.
They're saying, look, you told us we could do the voices. We're the voices in Mexico. Why would you be against that?
Yeah.
And, I don't understand it.
I don't know exactly what's going on, but we had Lightning track down the National Association of the Actors Union in Mexico, and we have them on the phone to try and figure out exactly what's going on down there with the voices for the Simpsons movie. Good morning.
¿Qué pasa? What's up, Bing?
Hi there. What's your name, sir?
My name's Rudy Cisneros. How you doing, vato?
Rudy?
Rudy?
We know you.
Rudy, it's Kevin and Bean calling from K-Rock.
Nah. Seriously?
Is this our Raiders fan, Rudy?
What's happening?
Why did Lightning give us Rudy? We asked for the Mexican National Association of Actors Union.
Yeah, that's me, hey. I just got a new job. I came down here in Mexico, the other day I smoked some crazy, some weed with my homeboy Little Maniac and Trucha, and I guess they, sprinkled some angel dust or something in there.
Yeah.
And, next thing I know, I woke up in Mexico, and, I got a fly job.
but you're not an actor. I mean, this is the union that represents the voice actors, in this case, that are working for The Simpsons. That's not you. You don't do that.
Dude, you got, they had to take, whatever they can get. I did some extra work on Baywatch in 1996.
Right.
And they're like, that's enough credits for us, eh? And, now I'm running stuff down here.
Okay, wait a minute.
Doing some voices. I'm delegating people. It's crazy.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that the actors that do the voices are on strike now, and you're the strike breaker?
Yeah, and I'm also filling in. I've been doing some voices for the Simpsons episodes, while they're on strike, eh?
Do you do the Simpsons? Do you do voices?
Well, I mean, I try. You know, the hard part is I don't speak Spanish.
Well, that makes sense.
That seems a little bad.
Well, like I said, any port in a storm, eh? All the voice actors in Mexico, they're striking. So, they had to take whatever they can get. I guess they're, outsourcing to some cholos in the U.S., eh? So, I made my way down there.
Wow. Outsourcing bites everybody in the ass, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Man.
You know, I thought the king of Mexico, our friend Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here, Carrick, was the only guy who speaks with this much of an accent and can't speak Spanish. I'm so confused by you now, Rudy.
I'm a product of my environment, eh? That's what what my counselor at high school used to say. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just do what I just like emulate what I was hearing back in my house, you know, growing up.
So are the Simpsons actors, the voice actors, are they out in front with signs saying, you know, hell
yeah,
no, we won't go
yeah,
or whatever?
They're saying that, but I
si se puede?
In Spanish, yeah. So I don't know what they're saying. Like, I just make a move when I walk into work, you know what I'm saying? Like, get out of my way, puto.
Do they spit on you?
And I got to do some work, you know? And they don't spit on me. They know better, eh? They see the teardrop under my eye. They see the, okay. They see the mi vida loca. They know it.
Okay.
I got
okay.
my Raiders beanie down tight. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Sure. Rudy, I don't understand. So what are the Simpsons episodes like, though, if you're the guy who's supposed to be translating into Spanish and you can't speak Spanish? I don't understand how that would work for the people watching the show in Mexico.
I figured you guys might have, like, some questions, you know, like what it's sounding like.
Right.
So I actually sent over some MP3 files this morning because I knew, like, you guys were going to talk to me. I sent it to Lightning. I didn't know you guys were going to, like, be, you know, blowing me up on the show like this. But I think you guys might have some clips, eh?
I have a CD, or what is this?
Well, like, this is going to be this Sunday's episode. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best because I don't speak Spanish. I don't really do voices in the past. So this is Marge and Lisa having, like, a mother-daughter moment, eh? You know, and I just did it the best I could. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So here's scene number one with Rudy Cisneros, who is now voicing The Simpsons.
Órale, Lisa, where have you been? Oh, hi, moms. I've been at the El Monte Mall preparing for my big Valentine's Day date with Ralph Wiggum. Oh, how great. Where is he taking you? Ralph just got a fly new pompadour haircut, and he's going to take me to the Morrissey concert to try and release some anger and frustration from our harsh Latino lives. That's great, Lisa. And that white blouse with black bra looks so sexy on you. Thanks, Mom. And how about my eyebrows? Don't they look great? Yeah, who did it? Little Pukey's cousin, Skranta. Oh, Lisa, you're growing up right before my eyes.
Rudy, that doesn't sound anything like Marge and Lisa, though. Nothing.
Well, the last
you're not even trying to do their voices.
Look, eh? All right, if you want to make fun of the product.
No, we're just, no,
don't
no, no.
Don't question my effort, eh?
No, but what we're
don't
saying
question
is.
Don't question my effort, okay?
No, but what we're saying is that the voice actors in Mexico, they tried to make it sound like the original.
I was trying it.
Well, those were two, there was a mom and a daughter there, a little girl.
Why are you making fun of me, eh?
Well, I'm just saying you didn't
you know
try.
You know what I'm saying? You've been picking on me for years. So I say, go out, get a job, become something, Rudy. Now I got a job.
Okay,
I'm like, you know,
okay.
I'm blowing
all
up.
All right, we apologize. Do you think Matt Groening is going to be excited about Little Pukey being worked in the episode?
All right,
he's a good guy.
You don't even know that, Vato.
All right. We don't need the mock.
We got one more clip.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah. This one is Homer and Bart, and they're like hanging out at the pad in Springfield. Check it out.
Okay, now, so these are guys, so I imagine you do a pretty good Homer. I mean,
dude, it's unbelievable. You're like gonna believe it's the real Simpsons.
Okay, here you go.
What's up, Bart? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just watching the Raider game, hanging out, smoking that bomb ass yesca that Milhouse sold me. That smells like some bomb chronic ass skunk weed, eh? Can I hit that? Of course you can, Homer. Take a pull off this, vato. Dope.
Well, that's flawless, Rudy. That's good work. Can I hear the dough one more time?
All right, hold on, eh? Meanie, meanie, meanie. Dope.
That's pretty good.
Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and
right.
I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have. Well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of
all, but
sure.
You can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
Them.
You have to talk to somebody
you
if you want
to,
okay?
And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to
that
cancel.
Interesting?
So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. She had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or they'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money, is charging you every month.
So. I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Wow. Just knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years. And it's back in the news this week. And I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace. Okay. Some dude with a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone, who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL. And here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I wanted to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
It's just quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do they have a high-speed connection, like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that?
The high-speed? Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not recently.
Okay. I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. Is that for business or for...
Dude, what difference does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with the
account. I am trying to
help. Helping me, listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel
it. No, it wouldn't, actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
Worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure it.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
How do you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds like a joke. Come on,
that guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel the account?
No,
I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up, because that just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for broadband. We think everybody should be fast, don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay. This was a recording. It's better, though. It's better. You don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to the snappy music.
Yeah. Why can't they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel...
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
2, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
3, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone, press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What?
I'm sorry, can we hear that again?
I'm sorry, you pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No, no.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2...
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
To upgrade your AOL account to high speed, press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion,
hit 4 again. Just hit 4 again. Let's get past this menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44.
No.
That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4 several times.
1, to upgrade for broadband.
I don't want
to
upgrade. Come on.
2, for a common suggestion, press 2.
Hit 4 just once. Just hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey.
What are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit four again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
We cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
Press 2. With a comment suggestion, press... Okay, you want to quit AOL.
Yes.
All right. Here are your choices.
Right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes.
Hang up.
Hang up. That won't work.
All right, press 6.
Before we get to the announcement, let's say good morning to Adam, who answers the phones here at K-Rock. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Say that again for us, please. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay. I just want you to listen to that voice.
Okay.
Because Adam, who is Jewish
and very white.
Yes. Has done a commercial here on K-Rock that we would like to spotlight for just a second.
Oh, boy.
To say it's not good is an understatement, but it's spectacular. Now, we love Adam, and we love Rockin' Taco.
Okay.
Great client, not the best of commercials. The problem is that here in Southern California, it's hard to find people who speak Espanol. You know what I mean? Because there's no one here like that.
Yeah, like hen's teeth. Find someone who with a working knowledge of Spanish. Yeah, of course, that's nearly impossible in this town.
So I'd like to play for you now, Rockin' Taco.
Entertain me, you say? Hold on to your sombrero, amigo. They don't call us Rockin' Taco Cantina for nada.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Come on, they don't call it that for nada.
It's worse than you remember, isn't it, Adam?
Wow, that's rough to hear.
What did you do? Did you watch Scarface 200 times in a row before you went to the recording booth?
No, you know, I have a huge Hispanic complex, guys.
Adam, why
what
did
does
they,
that mean?
I don't know. Why did they come to you and say, we need a Hispanic voice? Because you're a white Jewish guy that's not very Hispanic.
Got a few Hispanic guys working here. A few.
Yeah, you know, I have absolutely no idea.
They don't call us that for nada. Okay, now we continue.
Our bartender's got all the moves. Get a load of D's.
Okay, what?
Okay, what? Now you're just insulting.
Who says get a load of D's? I mean, really? Who says that?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't know. I took it straight from Super Steve.
Get a load of D's.
No, Super Steve never said that.
What about Super Steve? How about him maybe is the guy who ought to be reading the commercial? That's a guy who actually is Mexican. What about him?
What about
I don't know. You're gonna have to talk with the production department about that.
But didn't you say, I don't do that voice?
Yeah.
What about Psycho Mike, who's half Mexican and does a great Mexican accent? What about that? What about Ralph? What about me? What about Bean? What about Lisa?
I could do better
before
than that.
Adam.
Kinda makes you thirsty, doesn't it? The Rockin' Taco Cantina in Fullerton is a destination where the fun starts the minute you get here.
The fun starts the minute you get here.
That's just it's so not Hispanic.
No, not at all. Not when you listen back to it.
No, it's got to be brutal for you to hear.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what are you waiting for, Holmes? Come thirsty, come hungry, and stay for the fun.
Stay for the fun. Come thirsty, stay for the fun.
Come thirsty, come hungry, and stay for the fun. Every Wednesday is Rock of the 80s night, ese.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's enough.
That's not even my favorite part.
Have you ever used the word essay before in your life?
No, never.
I didn't think so.
And talk about eye candy, ay, ay, ay. At the Rockin' Taco Cantina, our bartender's got the moves.
Ay, ay, ay.
Check out Rockin' Taco Cantina in Fullerton right now online at www.rockintaco.com. The Rockin' Taco Cantina, 111 North Arbor in downtown Fullerton.
Fullerton.
Arbor.
Arbor in Fullerton.
What's an arbor? I wouldn't even get the right street.
That's fantastic. You rule the planet, Adam.
Adam, when you show up at Temple on Saturday, do you say to the old guys in there, you go, ay, ay, ay. Oh, here comes Adam.
But they might kill me after this
one. Oh, my God. You should get your Jewish card pulled. I don't know if they can do that, but they should do it.
Yeah. It's gone.
All right, Adam. You've done good work.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. Wow, is that good. Come on. Great client. Great place to eat.
Yeah. I think he should start eating more Mexican food. That might help with the accent. He should spend more time at Rockin' Tacos today.
Entertain me, you say? Hold on to your sombrero, amigo. They don't call us Rockin' Taco Cantina for nada.
Yes.
Good times right there.
Yes. Makes us proud to work here.
It's time for a new Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
It is time for a new Showbiz Beat. It is 8:52 in the a.m. You're listening to the best of Kevin Bean. Kevin Bean are on vacation through the rest of the week. That means tomorrow. But Monday, it'll be a brand new Kevin and Bean show. The entire cast and crew will be back together again, tanned, ready, and rested to rock out the rest of the calendar year with hilarious comedy and hijinks.
Yep. Looking good alliteration there.
Thanks so much. Let's take a look at what's happening in the world of show business, shall we?
Let's.
O.J. Simpson's now free on bail. Yesterday, a judge granted a $125,000 bond for the juice, who stands accused of 10 charges relating to the bizarre sports memorabilia dust-up in a Las Vegas hotel room. He's been ordered to stay away from all the individuals involved in that incident. That means no throat-slashing, O.J.
Aww.
Be on your best behavior. O.J. had to surrender his passport, meaning he can't leave the country, but he can move about these great United States of ours, and did. He left via airplane for Florida last night. He's currently back home.
Naturally.
Outside the courthouse. If you saw any of the press conference with the lawyers, it was spectacular. There was a guy in a chicken suit, another guy wearing a shirt that said, I love famous people, who turned out to be our very own mole, apparently. Mole was out there.
Sounded mole-esque.
Yeah, you know, he loves those press conferences. O.J. is expected to plead not guilty at his arraignment, which is scheduled for October the 22nd. I will be counting down the days, because once that happens, it's trial time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will volunteer to go to Vegas to be our on-site courtroom reporter for the remainder of the trial. I just want to hang out and witness it.
Can you imagine the scene over there?
It's going to be the best.
This is a mess.
Yes, it is. With Hoff while I'm there. Hayden Panettiere. She has recently split up with her longtime boyfriend, Laguna Beach alum Stephen Coletti.
Hey, yo!
Hey, yo, Stephen Coletti. Isn't that the one that... Lauren said that they should have babies together because her and Steven would be...
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Yeah. Because Steven's tan, and the baby would be tan.
Because it's genetic.
Well, apparently she is not lonely, Hayden. Our little Hayden. She's got a new boyfriend, if you believe the tabloids. Several of the internet celebrity websites, as well as some of the printed tabloids, are saying that she's getting close. I'm putting that in air quotes. You can't see it, but I'm doing it.
Good for radio.
To her Heroes co-star, Milo Ventimiglia. That is a superpower I would like to have, to be able to attract Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
Make her put on the cheerleader costume. Mm-hmm. So nice now she's 18, I can say these things. Talking about pom-poms, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why are we talking like this?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yesterday on Oprah Winfrey, I don't know if you caught it or not, Justin Timberlake appeared on the show.
JT.
And Oprah couldn't help herself. She had to ask the one-time boyfriend of Britney Spears, what do you think is going on with Britney, he said. JT responded, I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't spoken to her in years, putting to rest rumors that he was going to work with her again, or do a duet, or produce a song for her. Well, God knows she could use the help. He refused to be nasty about his ex-girlfriend, adding, what I do know about her is she has a huge heart, and she's a great person. And he later added, by huge heart, I mean huge ass, and by great person, I mean hopelessly addicted white trash.
Leave Britney alone!
Dude, serious. Speaking of Britney, I got an email from listener Mario. This week I talked about the fact that a judge said that the evidence showed him that Britney had a substance and alcohol problem. And while he was deciding how the custody of the two children between K-Fed and Britney would be progressing, he would be sending someone over to test Britney periodically, twice a week, at random intervals to make sure that she was not on any substances or any alcohol while she was in care of the children. I also mentioned immediately after that courtroom scene was played out, she partied at Winston's and Hyde that very night.
Good move.
Well, I got an email from listener Mario, who apparently was an eyewitness to what I was referring to. Yo, Ralph. Yeah, I saw Brittany at Club Hyde last night. She was verschnickered for sure. She grabbed my friend's ass only after getting in a fight with the bathroom attendant when she tried to take a pack of cigarettes that sits behind the sink. I believe the proper etiquette is tip the bathroom person a couple bucks and then take one cigarette. Well, Brittany is Brittany and thought she deserved the whole pack, which led to an altercation. If only Lindsay was there doing rails, then the night would have been complete. Just thought I would share. Thanks, Mario. Thank you, Mario, for giving us the eyewitness account of Brittany being loaded trying to steal cigarettes. Ken, doesn't she have enough money to buy her own pack of smokes?
Of course not.
She went through a divorce. Right. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her.
Doesn't mean just because you're going through a divorce, she can't take one cigarette. Would she take the whole bowl of mints, too? Would she take the bottle of Scope that sits there? just loading up her purse? And with all these free goodies?
And the tip cup,
yeah,
which
exactly.
was the worst part. Insult injury.
That's so wrong. Rose McGowan may be the next celebrity to walk down the aisle, if you believe the New York Post. Their Page 6 gossip column reports she's been spotted wearing a new diamond engagement ring, and everyone is presuming it's from her boyfriend, Robert Rodriguez.
Mira.
He, of course, the director of Rose in the movie Grindhouse. That's where they met on the set. Of course, Robert was married at the time, but why let something like that get in the way?
Did somebody order Mexican?
Apparently Rose McGowan did. She got a doggy bag and took it home. Today's celebrity birthdays, bassist Ben Shepherd from Soundgarden's 39 years old today. Gunner and Matthew Nelson Nelson are 40. Gunner, his name's Gunner.
It sure is.
Gunner's not a name. Gunner is an assignment in the Army. It's not a name. How do you name one Gunner and the other Matthew?
I agree. You got it.
You break down halfway into naming the twins. Like, oh, I'm going to F this kid out. And then Matthew. And then you just lose interest.
You can't get chintzy after Gunner. You got to get Gunner and like...
And Grock. Right. Gunner and Bombardier. Something. Stick to a theme. Anyway, the Nelson boys are 40 years old today. They were hot at one moment.
They were huge.
When they had long hair and they were rocking, they were huge for 5 minutes.
I don't care about your mind.
All right, it's enough
and
of
after
that.
After the rain, come on!
Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun is 40 years old today. And Gary Cole, one of our favorite actors, is 51 years old. Do you have that moment with Kevin where...
Give me 10 seconds.
I'll recap for our listeners what happened. We've had Gary Cole in on the show actually several times. He was in most recently, I guess, for Talladega Nights when he played Will Ferrell's dad in that show. But he's been on a bunch of times. We love him. He was Lumberg in Office Space, one of our favorite movies. He's been a bunch of great TV work. So he came into the show, and I sat in on the interview with Kevin and Bean. And Bean allowed me to introduce Gary because he knows I'm a huge fan. So I did a quick recap of his resume and then said out loud in the room while Kevin was sitting next to me, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Cole. And then immediately, seconds later, Kevin picked up with this.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Now, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Nothing makes a performer feel more warm inside after you recapped his career and introduced him for someone to say that I have no idea who you are.
Well, you being an actor, Ralph, I mean, don't you actors put a big premium on anonymity?
Sure. We usually go out, put bags over our heads, and just work in complete solitude. They're coming back Monday. Kevin Bean, coming back Monday. Yeah. In the meanwhile, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Thursday morning on K-Rock. We're going to debut something new here that, Kevin, you were making it sound earlier like word got out that this feature was being debuted today and there was some nervousness in the halls. I don't understand what that's about. Why? What are you talking about?
You know the halls, dude. You know the suits. You know everybody.
Right, I do.
You know how much.
But look at the runaway success of Ask a Mexican. I mean, there couldn't be a more popular segment on the Kevin and Bean Show than Ask a Mexican.
Gustavo Arellano comes in about once a month, and we do Ask a Mexican. And he has actually written a book called Ask a Mexican. Sorry, I'm getting my features mixed up. and so we have people call. We say, why do Mexicans swim in their jeans or whatever? And he gives an answer.
Right, which is, I think, educational and entertaining.
Now, we have a longtime friend named Anel, who's he's a listener of the show, but he's super cool. He emails us all the time. He's very funny.
Hey, Token.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We call him Token.
And he's a black guy, so we thought, why not transfer the success of Ask a Mexican to our new feature, which is Ask a Black.
Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now.
Oh, yeah.
Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black.
Sing along if you know it.
It's time to ask a Black.
Ah, that's beautiful. See, if you're a lot of people like me, for instance, you don't have any African-American friends, so you have these burning questions. There's no place to go. Where do I go to ask questions? And that's why Anel comes in handy. And we might start with, what's the deal with Axe? Why is it you see people who are otherwise obviously very intelligent and well-spoken, yet they still insist on using the word axe? What's
man,
that all about?
You know what? I could not give you an honest answer if I tried, man. I've asked myself the same question several times. Every time I ask myself this question, you know, I just come to the same conclusion, man, that it's just one of those vernaculars of speech that has kind of worked its way into the American, ideology. And
but
black
only
people say axe.
Yeah, only into African Americans. Only into black people do they say axe, I think.
Let me tell you, it is now beginning to feature itself prominently in the Wigger culture.
Is that right?
I've seen the white
people.
Well,
sure, that's because
axe.
Wiggers want to be black.
There you go,
right,
of course.
Right.
There you go.
Of course.
But what would happen if you were to ask an otherwise, intelligent, articulate, college-educated professional, hey, why do you still use axe? What would they say to you? Is it some sort of a statement against whitey? Is it some sort of keeping your hair? Yeah, what's it all about,
hey,
do you
man.
Think, from them.
Jesse Jackson does it, man. I've seen him on television. I've seen
really?
Al Sharpton. They both say axe. You know what I mean? I've even heard Spike Lee. Spike Lee and I went to the same college, man. We went to the Morehouse, and the brother.
Well,
axe,
look, who he,
you know.
Look where he is and look where you are.
Well, good point.
you know what I'm saying?
but that's a perfect example of the kind of question, though, that people may think and not have anyone to ask. And that's why axe. That's why this is a great feature, and we're providing a real service to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Don't you agree?
It's contagious.
It is.
See, look, and I'm telling you, man, watch it. A year from now, y'all going to be like, axe.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come back with your questions on our new feature.
Right now, same phone number for our new feature just debuting here today. It's called Axe of Black.
Axe of Black. Axe a Black right now. Axe a Black. Axe a Black right now.
Oh, yeah!
Axe a Black. Axe a Black right now. Axe a Black. It's time to Axe a Black.
Our friend Anel, longtime K-Rock listener in the studio, will field your questions you've always wanted to know about African Americans. Why don't we start down there on line 5 with Tracy? She is in Woodland Hills, the very first caller on Axe a Black. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Tracy.
Tracy,
how you doing, Mama?
Tracy, just before your question, I'd like to ask one that I think Bean just brought up, which is that we're almost afraid to say black. We know we have to say African American now.
I don't have any Africans in my family.
But African American, so African American is not.
I prefer black.
Personally,
you do, okay. Man. I don't know any. I know a couple Africans, man, and they cricket.
It seems like every couple of years it changes, and we can't keep up. So we're afraid to even refer to
black.
Okay,
black is cool.
Tracy, what's your question?
My question is basically, why can't black people swim?
Why can't black people swim? Tracy, have you seen how much jewelry we wear? Can you imagine Mr. T in a pool? That's going to just drag you to the bottom of the ocean.
You know what
I think it is, honestly, why blacks can't swim is because I think a lot of us have an inherent fear of water that's passed down from, like, the Middle Passage. I mean, imagine being trapped in a boat for, like, two months and all you see is water.
Don't like water.
Yeah, you love land. And plus, I mean, come on, man. Let me tell you something. When I swim.
Can you swim?
I can swim very well, man. But my hair, it turns into like this reverse Jerry curl. It dries out, and it's bad. It looks like a black Brillo, and it's not good. So I tend to stay out of the water.
What's that, Tracy?
So it's a personal choice, though.
Yeah, plus, like I know black women, you can't mess with a sister hair.
That's true.
Man, I can't even walk around my wife when I'm sweaty because, mess up her perm.
Yeah.
That is a great answer. It never even occurred to me that it could have something to do with what it does to your hair afterwards.
I'm
if it's too
you,
much trouble, what's the point of getting in the water, right?
That chlorine eats up some relaxer like it ain't nothing. But I'm telling you, boy.
All right, how about line 7? Let's try Steve. He's in Montebello, 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve, Axe of Black.
How you doing, Axe of Black?
What's going on, Steve? What'd it do?
What to do? I got a question. Why do black people talk so loud? Even when they're whispering, they talk loud.
Because white people don't listen. you know what, man? I got to be honest with you, man. I am a victim of this. I actually speak very loud. You guys can probably admit, if you didn't have headphones on, you'd be deaf right now.
Yeah. Why is that?
I think because a lot of us come from big families. I know myself especially. I have three brothers, man. So you got to yell to get heard in my house. You know what I mean? It's almost like one of those caucuses, you know, where you're trying to get a question to Bush.
Hey, we can't say that word, man.
Yeah.
No, caucus is okay, Kevin. Caucus is okay.
Caucus is fine. Bush is bad.
So that also makes sense. Big family, you've got to speak up if you're going to be heard. It's just like you can't be shy when they put the plate out there for dinner. If you want to eat, you got to go first, right?
Same kind of thing. Have a black family reunion, man? It's like 400 people with the same last name.
If you're just tuning in, we are doing our new feature.
Act of Black.
All right.
Now, what is going on with this Tyler Perry? That is the least funny dude ever. And his TV show is the highest rated thing on cable. And the black people love him. They go to his movies. Why is he so huge?
You know, I got to tell you, man, there are certain things that just do not translate well to television. Like, could you imagine, like, Cats, the miniseries?
No.
You know,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, Tyler Perry does really good stage stuff, man. You go watch the stuff live on stage, the Madea, you know, this and the family.
He's funny.
He's hilarious, man. But when you put this stuff on television, you put the 30-minute constraint around it, the language, it just doesn't translate well. Because, I mean, I like Tyler. I mean, you know, I wouldn't trust a brother in the shower room, but aside from that, he's a cool cat.
George in Commerce, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Good, thank you. You're on with our friend Anel.
Every time I see the news and they interview witnesses or people that heard it, they always say, you know what I mean?
Okay, first of all.
And they always say that before they say anything, which kills
right.
me.
Look, first of all.
Look, you know what I mean? You go, you haven't said anything.
Look, let me clarify something, right. Okay? We don't say, you know what I mean.
No, okay? Of course not.
That would just take entirely too long. We say, nah mean.
Nah mean.
It's one word, K-N-A-M-E-A-N, nah mean. Okay? And it's because we want to know, you nah mean?
I mean, right, but if you say, you know what I mean, then you haven't said anything
hey,
yet.
Hey, man, look, you remember this TV show, The Smurfs? Every third word was Smurf, but everybody knew what everybody was talking about because you just got to be in the flow. You know, I'm going to walk with your brother and say, hey, bro, you know, what to do with them business, you know what I mean? And he going to look at me and go right back to me and be like, hey, it's all good play, you know what I mean? And it's just because we not mean.
And you know what's going to happen, again, I'm going to say, is that, you know, it takes a while, but eventually Whitey catches up with that, and we're all saying not a mean.
I don't even have it down yet. You'll get it. Though.
All right.
Let's go to line five. We'll talk to Bob. He's in San Dimas. One of the all-time mythical questions in this area. Bob, Acts of Black.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob, are you there?
Bob.
Bob, are you scared of black people? It's okay. We're all family here, Bob. This is the time for you
this
to leave.
This is your safe place.
Let me go back to him one more time. Bob, are you there? Okay, not there.
He must have put down the phone. His question was, why do black people talk back to the movie screen?
The movie screen spends 2 hours talking to you.
Right,
I mean,
but
you know, I can't get a couple words in, you know what I'm saying?
No, you can't.
I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what that comes from, man. I think maybe it comes from, you know, like the whole culture, man, is we always got to get the last word in, man.
Is that something that you do in a family at home, watching TV?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. I haven't, to this day, never heard an entire episode of Friends. I always get them cut off by commentary.
Really?
It's like DVD commentary.
Well, that makes sense, huh? That makes sense.
Nell, we have so many great questions. We're going to have to schedule another round of Acts of Black, I think, because there's no way we're going to be able to get to it all today. But I think we've made a first step toward a very valuable service on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Don't you guys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do.
It's
fascinating.
Yes, there's some good questions up here, by the way. I'm looking at a couple of them.
Yeah, we don't have time for all of them, though, now, so we are going to have you back.
Why don't black women wash their hair?
I didn't realize that was a problem, is it?
I'm not a black woman. You have to ask. Yeah, no, we can definitely do this again. Whenever y'all agree, I'm saying, nah, mean.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Of course we know.
Yeah, we know. Acts
of Black. Nicely done, B.
Acts of Black right now. Acts of Black.
What a new nephew is next.
Acts of Black right now.
Oh yeah.
Acts of Black.
Why do you put law?
Acts of Black right now. Acts of Black. It's time to Acts of Black.
Very brave to pretend this isn't the most exciting day of your life, Kevin. I haven't seen you this excited since Cindy Crawford stopped by.
This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And every once in a while, something comes along the internet and you go, wow, I didn't know that was even possible. This guy, you know how you put your hands together and try to make a farting sound?
Make a hand fart. Sure. Yeah, of course.
This guy does Queen. With two hands.
Well,
really does it all. I mean, he does Guns N' Roses, Beatles, AC/DC.
Kevin, you're talking about Jerry Phillips, the world's greatest hand farter. In fact, he's the first manualist we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show. And let's welcome Jerry on right now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How you doing?
What does it mean, manualist? What does that mean?
Basically, it's a guy who uses his hands.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Now, what do you do for a living, Jerry? You don't make a living with your hands, do you?
Oh, I have a gun shop, and that's where the name gynecologist on YouTube came along.
Ah. Oh, a gynecologist. I get it.
Gotcha.
Now, I understand that you have been performing music this way since you were 9 years old.
I've been, 38 years I've been playing my hands now.
Wow.
You must be the most popular party guest in America.
Tell you what, until this YouTube came along, I now have 2,250,000 people watching.
Now, which brings me to my next point. What made you think of putting this on YouTube? Did you do it or did somebody else?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I didn't. I have tried to be on TV for years, but they seem to have overlooked me.
How could they not put you on TV? That's the best act ever.
I got to tell you, it's going to happen now just because of you.
Yes.
And I'd like to take a second to thank you guys, because as of Friday, an hour after I talked to Jay, your man there, mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. And rightfully so. I want to play a little bit more of the Queen song of you doing it with your hands. Wait, let me fast forward it to a better part. Here you go.
And by the way,
hang
folks.
On, hang on. My favorite part. How do you do that? Octaves apart. Jerry, how do you do that?
Oh, I mean, you put your hands together, and it's really just pretty simple.
Most people can barely make a noise.
Well, you know, what most people don't realize is if I said I started at 9 years old, that a 9-year-old figured this stuff out.
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, I want people to understand, you actually see Jerry performing Bohemian Rhapsody and some of these other songs at YouTube. It's not like this is edited together in a studio and they used it, they pitched it up. I mean, he's doing it live as you hear it on the video, and it's remarkable. What about...
Go to krock.com, by the way, the Kevin and Me page. There's a link there.
Jerry, what about all of these talent shows that are so popular on television right now? You know, when an Elvis impersonator is on America's Got Talent or something, you got to look at that dude and go, man, there's a million Elvis impersonators. There's only one guy that can do what I do. You should be on those kind of shows.
You know, I look at that Pierce guy and I want to puke.
Of course.
Yeah.
Anything other than him, I probably would do it. But I've seen, like last year, an 11-year-old girl won, where the clothes changers were the greatest things I ever saw in my entire life, and they got knocked off. So that made me think, where am I going to go with this? You know what I mean?
You're going right to the top, my friend.
You certainly are.
Well, with you guys, because I'm telling you what, I have been promised the world until Friday, where you guys actually did something, and I'm making you an offer. If you have anything you want me to come out to California to do, I will never charge you.
September 15th, we have a concert at Home Depot.
Let me finish here. I got a Geico commercial. The next Geico commercial is going to be me playing the entertainer. And Wednesday, I'm going to Salt Lake City to do another commercial. So this hasn't even hit the U.S. yet.
You've got hands of gold, my friend.
He certainly does.
Here's the Super Mario Brothers video game theme.
God.
Come on. Is there anything better than this guy playing his hands?
That's impressive.
Well, no. There just isn't. Hey, Jerry, have you ever attempted to play this with your butt? Have you ever done any of that kind of fart songs?
Have I ever done what?
Any fart songs with your butt? Or are you strictly a hands man?
Oh, really? You know, clearing your throat is the problem.
Yeah, sure. I guess I can see that. I don't want to go into that anymore. Do you take requests, Jerry?
Sure.
Can you do the Godfather theme, please?
Okay.
Wow.
Nice.
That is amazing.
With his hands, I'm telling you. All right. Well, listen, you can go to KRock.com. You can see the video we're talking about. Bohemian Rhapsody is just one of many that are offered. And when will we see you on with our friend Jimmy Kimmel?
August 31st.
August 31st. Fantastic.
August 31st, right around the corner.
That's great. Couple of weeks. Hey, when you're here, we want you to come in.
I will come.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now.
Good luck to you, sir.
Come on. Mm-hmm.